are listening to the Shaken Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free.
They're not
going to
catch us. We're on a mission from God. We're on a mission from God. Man, you got to understand, it's a lot bigger than any domestic problems you might be experiencing.
Ma'am, would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matthew to do is a holy thing?
See, we're on a mission from God. It's 106 miles from Chicago. We got a full tank of gas. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
You're listening to the Shaken Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free. ShakenWakeRadio.com.
And now, it's time for John Durash and the National Liberty Alliance. Coming up, tune in every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, with John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Visit us at ShakenWakeRadio.com to chat along and ask questions of John. Learn how we the people are holding the system accountable with common law grand juries across the nation.
And I'm waiting for you.
John will be taking questions from the Shake and Wake Radio chat room, or you can Skype or call in. Visit NationalLibertyAlliance.org for more information. Every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org on ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. And now, your beloved host of National Liberty Alliance, John Durash.
Thank you, Rick. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, October 13, 2014. And for those on Shake and Wake Radio that would like to call in, they can call in at 605-562-3140. Participation code is 385-698. All right, I guess we'll get started. First, we'll start, we'll lift up the Lord, look into our Bible, spend a few minutes there, and then we'll get into details and things and where we're at and what we're doing. I'd like to read tonight out of 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 20. And we read, "All the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in the ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, in that they say unto thee, For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit yet, protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." And Samuel told all the words of Jehovah unto the people that asked of him king. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confessionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyard and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest men, young men, and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen. Then Jehovah will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like the other nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. So, from 1450 BC to 1040 BC, Israel became the first nation to be ruled by King God under common law, and liberty was proclaimed throughout all Israel. Israel did not suffer from tyrants, and the people judged all things under the precepts of God. Liberty and prosperity prevailed for 410 years, until they demanded a king like other nations. And immediately the first king became a tyrant, and they were plagued with tyrants until 609 BC, when they were carried away to Babylon, and remained captive to ungodly nations ever since. In 33 AD, God gave them one last chance, and they rejected God again. England became the second nation to claim common law. But like Israel, the people eventually ordained an earthly king, and thereby rejected God, and were likewise cursed with tyrants. America became the third nation to claim common law. But unlike Israel and England, our founders denied rule by earthly kings. The Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our preamble says to the Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. George Washington said, the favorable smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and rights which heaven itself has ordained. George Washington went on to say, I am sure that never was a people who had more reason to acknowledge a divine interposition in their affairs than those of the United States, and I should be pained to believe that they have forgotten that agency, which was so often manifest during our revolution, or that they failed to consider the omnipotence of that God who is alone able to protect them. Thomas Jefferson said, God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are but a gift of God, that they are not to be violated but by his wrath? I indeed tremble for my countrymen when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. A nation becomes corrupt and vicious. As a nation becomes corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate for a government to a government of any other." John Adams again said, "Statesmen, my dear sir, may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue. And if this cannot be inspired into our people in a greater measure than they have it now, they may change their rules and the forms of government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty. They will only exchange tyrants for tyrannies." Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that a great nation was found not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here." James Madison said, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves, according to the Ten Commandments of God." Noah Webster said, "In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be a basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people." Hang on, let me mute. There's some noise coming through. I'm going to put us into queue. Okay, no, Psalms 119:45, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek the precepts of God." Therefore, the opposite is true. If we do not seek the precepts of God, then we will not walk in liberty. James 1, verse 25 says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that's the Bible, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." Psalms 119, verse 92, "Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection. But thy commandments is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients, because I kept thy precepts. I have retained my feet from the evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform, that I will keep thy righteousness judgment." Yeah, we're hearing you through here, Rick.
Try to get John back here. He's on, but he's muted.
No, I'm coming through.
So what I'm going to do is... try to let him know.
Okay, I just muted Rick. Gerard, am I coming through here? Or is it Rick that's coming through?
No, it's Rick. I hear you fine.
Yeah, I heard. I even heard Rick too.
He's having technical difficulties, but be that as it may.
I'll try to unmute. Let me unmute him again. See if
he's talking. Try to get him back, right? Yeah.
He's talking in the background. So, let give him a yell on text or something. Let him know we're going through. Okay. Meanwhile, I got him muted. And when you get him fixed up, we'll unmute him. Okay. Let me finish off here now. So this brings us to Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, which we just recently went through and we talked a little bit about on our Bible studies on Saturdays. And we read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." And Christ is our first love. America has left Christ. That has become quite clear. And our government has worked overtime, really, to drill into us certain ideas and thoughts. And one of the things is to remove Christ from our society. People sometimes have a problem hearing about Christ. They just don't want to hear it. And even people who claim to be Christian, they seem to think we need to leave Jesus in the church. Well, I disagree with that. And tonight I really wanted to make a point that we're not going to be successful unless it's God's will to be successful. And if we are not doing God's will, clearly we will not be successful. And if we're going to know God's will, we have to go read his word. Now, this isn't a Bible study. Monday nights isn't set up for a Bible study, but we have recently set this up so that we would honor God before we started anything. I thought about doing a prayer, but I thought, well, maybe it would be more food for thought if we just read some scripture and maybe even try to tie things into some of the things we're doing and make some certain points that God is able. He can do it. We will not be successful unless we are within the will of God. America has lost her way and hangs in the balance. So I say, choose ye this day whether we will have a virtuous America or a godless America. That's the choice of the people.
Okay, we got you back.
As William Penn said, men must
you
be governed
out
by God. No, we've been on. You've been off, not us. We'll talk about it later. Let me finish this up. Men must be governed by God, or they will be ruled by tyrants. So who has beguiled us? Who has convinced us? We have been convinced by whom that God is dead? We have been convinced by whom that their fiction is our reality? We have been convinced by whom to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We have been convinced by whom that you need a bar lawyer. We have been convinced by whom that you need to join a party. We have been convinced by whom to keep God in the church and out of society. We have been convinced by whom that George Washington was the enemy of liberty. We have been convinced by whom that Thomas Jefferson was a deist. We have been convinced by whom that Benjamin Franklin was a womanizer. We have been convinced by whom that our founders were alcoholics. We have been convinced by whom that we are so smart. We are well-trained slaves. If you refuse to cross the bar, if you argue that you are from the soil, if you argue that you are flesh, if you argue that your name is in lowercase, if you argue that you are that you and are not a citizen, if you argue UCC in rem, if you argue jurisdiction, if you argue any of the aforementioned, you make their fiction reality and you're in the wrong court. You just gave them jurisdiction and you will be found without standing. We must deny their jurisdiction from the beginning, from the first. We must demand obedience to Article 6, Paragraph 2, and then move the court and sue theirs. And that's the only way we succeed in the court. And this is a very important point. There's a lot of poison out there. a poison to get rid of God, to keep him out of our government, to keep him out of our society, to keep him out of our conversations. There's a lot of poison out there that try to get us and to convince us to talk about the fiction, you know, to make certain claims. And again, when you make these claims, I truly believe that the enemy is working behind the scenes in a lot of these sites we read about these sovereign movements. And the people in these sites don't know about it. They're being used just like anyone else. They're as dumb as we are. They are being suckered. They're being used as useful idiots. But they love to get these conversations in the court. They feel comfortable ultimately at some point when they can shut you down. They feel uncomfortable when you can respond back to them. They feel uncomfortable when they see that they're not getting anywhere and that your denial stops them. They feel uncomfortable when they see that you go out after them and sue them and add them to the case when they deny your unalienable rights. That's what we need to be doing, if anything, in the courts. But anyway, I wanted to make this point here tonight very clear that Israel rejected God as king. England rejected God as king. America did not reject God as king, but accepted him as king. And that's why we're under natural law. But we have forgotten our first love. We've went astray. We've lost our way. And it's time to return. We need to repent. People need to figure that out for themselves. Go into your prayer closet, open your Bible, and get into a Bible study somewhere, at least once a week. And then we'll feel a lot safer. Because, you see, if we're within the will of God, we have nothing to worry about at all. Okay, let's move on. We're in the middle of preparing a huge media campaign. Most people know this by now, but if you don't, you know it now. Let's get the word out. Up on nationallibertyalliance.org, we changed the news tab to media. And if you go highlight media, you'll come down and you'll see a tab that says media campaign. We'd like people to participate in this campaign as much as possible. It's time to get the word out. We're about ready to do big things. And hopefully we'll be releasing it soon. We're not totally organized enough yet with every state to be able to go forward with our next move. But the moment we will be, and that could be in a week, it could be in 2 weeks, it could be in days. It's up to the people. It's up to you. Once we are at that point where we can go forward, then we're going to release exactly what we're doing and get into the details and read the papers that we'll be filing, which, in my opinion, will be the most powerful papers we've released to date, the most damning papers we'll have released to date, and I think papers that will make these people feel very uneasy. There are people who are downplaying in L.A., people who we would think would be working with us, people who have told me many times over the years or so I've known some of these people, that they appreciate what we're doing here and that, you know, they don't agree with everything the way we're doing it. And they got a better way and so on and so forth. But, you know, hey, you go do what you got to do, they say, and you know, we'll support you. And but not so much anymore. I'm not naming names or pointing my finger at anybody, but I'm just making a warning here to the people here in NLA. They need to know this. There are people trying to move this movement in a different direction. There are people trying to move the UCC, and I've been preaching against the UCC stuff since the beginning. And anybody that gets involved with the UCC stuff, which is using their fiction ultimately because they're using the commercial codes in order to move the fiction and get involved in some of this fictional, legislation and reverse to them what they've been doing to them. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. But people are able, you know, if they want to do that, that's their business. I know a lot of people that are doing it, and I tell them they should be very careful when they do that because they're going to burn you if they can. And I know people who have been burnt. As soon as you cash the check, your door comes down the next night. They take your door down and you go to jail. And I've seen it happen. But we do tell everyone involved with us here at NLA, you cannot bring the commercial business, the commercial codes. You can't bring the UCC, and we can't go put liens on people. That's not what the grand jury does. The grand jury writes bills, period. And the power of the pen is the most power of this country. When we write a bill, it could move mountains, literally. We don't need to file any kind of a lien on somebody or to get involved in any of that stuff. So if anybody is approaching you to do these things, you got to straighten them out and tell them if they're going to stick with NLA, they can't bring that here. They can do what they want in their personal lives, like I said, but they can't bring it into what we're doing. There are some people trying to move this in different ways, making phone calls or sending out emails or doing different things to try to entice you. I promise you, I will repeat, I promise you that if you get involved with that, you're going to jail. I will immediately write a paper disclaiming for myself and all those people working with NLA that we have no part with those actions and will remove everyone involved. We've already done that once, not on a big scale, but we've done it. And we'll do it again and again because I don't want to go to jail. This is not what we're here for. We're not here as martyrs to go to jail for some commercial reason. We're here to win the Republic back. That's why we're here. And so we will cut the strings and connection with you if you get involved with that. So this is a warning that people are going to try to entice you to get involved with. There's people out there that may try to convince you, or I've seen some things going on, that, NLA has gone as far as they can. Now it's time to move in a different direction. No, we just got to the point where we've been planning and waiting to get to go forward with the plan that we've had. We've always known what the plan would be. We didn't know how it would work out. We didn't know when it would work out. But we would know that when we got there, when we'd be ready. And we're just about ready, okay? So these are people, and I can only surmise. I'm not even going to try to surmise why they're doing this. There could be 10,000 reasons, so I'm not even going to guess. All I'm going to tell you is just be careful because, you know, they're going to take you away or try to divide us. The enemy does not and cannot have NLA to continue. So they will try to divide us and to get into us any way they can and to bring us down, to stop what we're doing. Because only the people can save America, and they can only do it through this process. I am absolutely convinced of that. There is nothing else out there that I'm aware of. I mean, if there is, by all means, when we open the phone lines, tell us all about it, because we'd love to hear it, and we'll participate with that, too. But this is it. There is no other way to save America. So people will try to bring you into a different road. You know, people doing different things. Look, if we got to stay focused. People, everyone should continue to do whatever it is that they think they need to do to help save the Republic. You know, you go to your meetings. If you're an Oath Keeper, you do the Oath Keeper things. If you're a Tea Party guy or person, you do the Tea Party things. The elections are coming up. You want to support someone to try to get good people. Who can argue with those things? You sign petitions and agree with people, you know, to get rid of Common Core or Agenda 21. I mean, I'm all for it. I'll sign the paper, too. I already have, okay? I don't spend too much time on those things because I spend my time here doing this because this is what's going to save America. All those other things might be helpful a little bit. They might slow things down a little bit, might get some good people into office, and that might help a little bit. But none of those things and all of those things are not going to save the nation. We already know that. We've been doing it long enough. It's just not going to work. But what we're doing will work. So you could do this and the other thing at the same time. If everybody put in, you know, look at it. If every member of NLA put in an hour a week, wow, what we could do. Just an hour a week. That'd be huge. And that's what I'm asking for now. I'm asking for everybody to put an hour a week, maybe a little less. If you can only do a half hour, I can live with that too. If you could do 2 hours, well, I'm all for that also. But an hour a week, that's what we're asking for, an hour a week. And that hour, we really want you to push our media campaign. As I said, if you go up to nationallibertyalliance.org, you highlight media, and you click on media campaign. Okay. Now, we've already started a campaign to communicate with our sheriffs. If you're not aware of that, you are now, Let's get involved. Every state meeting across the nation, you know, every state should be having a meeting on HD or some other, forum. But you should have a meeting, a telephone meeting, once a week. You don't need to get together any longer than a half hour, maybe even 15 or 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. Key thing, stay on point, what's been going on that week. What's the newest news? And to get involved with the campaigns. One of the campaigns is the media campaign. We have other things with organizing, huge things going on behind the scenes for trying to work out the organizing and getting the paperwork ready to be filing with the courts. A lot of activity going on, and hopefully we'll be ready soon. But right now we need everybody into the media campaign. We need to prime our sheriffs. They need to know what the law is. Now, I think we mentioned this last Monday, and we've mentioned it at other meetings. I think we mentioned it next Monday, but I'm going to go through it again because it's so important. Okay. We need to send a letter, personal letter, private letter from a private people, handwritten, to all our sheriffs. In New York, we're working on this right now. I think they got everything together today, or I haven't spoke with Kathleen, who I think was working with a group of other people here in New York to put this together. We've pulled together the all of the jurist handbooks and the constitutional handbooks, and we're sending one hand, we're telling every state to do the same thing. This is an important campaign. And anybody who's got the handbooks and have read the handbooks and especially shared it with somebody, even people who aren't so much in the movement but kind of know there's something going on, they read the handbooks, they're very impressed. Wow, so that's what the law looks like. Hmm. People in the already in the liberty movement, this moves them, this presses them. This should catch them enough to say, let me go look at National Liberty Alliance. National Liberty Alliance does have name recognition. We're pretty much everywhere you go, everybody's heard of us. But everybody doesn't know what we're really all about. Maybe they think we're about teaching people in the courts and it's too much for them and they're not a lawyer, they don't have the mind for it or whatever. I don't know what they think. But they need to get to that front page, read that front page, watch that video, and get involved. Okay? And this book, this handbook is one way to do that. And a companion handbook, which most definitely belongs with this, is the Constitution for the United States. Okay, so those two handbooks, you can walk into any court and you can argue a case using these two handbooks. You can really hold down a case on this. But in any event, we need to get these into the hands of our sheriffs, and we want to do it in a friendly way. And the best friendly way is to sit down. Let's give you an example of New York. We have 62 sheriffs. Well, actually, we've got 57 sheriffs in New York. 56, I think. Let's see, 7. Well, it doesn't matter, 65. But in any event, we want to get these handbooks into the hands of every single sheriff. And I should have said 55. Every single sheriff. And so we're in a campaign, and every state should be on this campaign right now. And if you're not, call up your state coordinator and find out why you're not doing this. We need to write handwritten letters. We gave an example of one online right here on the media campaign page. We have a plan there. You click on the plan, it'll lay out the plan. And also in that plan, it gives an idea of a letter that you might write. It should be handwritten, and it should be addressed from an individual, just a person, one of the people, that's all. And you may, you know, we were talking about this after we put this out, and maybe I should get up here and change this and add this in, but you might want to say, well, look, hey, I'm involved with a few others. Use the word citizens. Don't be afraid to use that. Or a few other Americans, and we're really concerned. We're a small group of people. We're really concerned about the way America's going because our servants don't seem to be obeying the law. And you being the law enforcement agent, we want to make sure that you have it, so we want to give you this gift. And this is how we wrote the letter here. I am a concerned citizen, and it seems that our public servants have been ignoring the law of the land, namely the Constitution for the United States of America. Therefore, I or we would like to share the enclosed handbooks with you and your deputies. If you would like more handbooks, please do not hesitate to write or call. Final paragraph. These are troubling times, and I would like you to know that you have our support and prayers. Thank you for your time and consideration. Sincerely, and signed your name. You put on the top your name, your address, and your phone number. And if you have, if you have five or six people together writing these handwritten letters, maybe each one has to write 10 of them. And you put them in an envelope, and you put the two booklets in there, and you seal it up, and you drop it in the mail, and he gets it. He or she gets it. Now, this is an extremely important campaign because this is the primer for the sheriff. He's getting this in a very friendly way. He's saying, oh, what a thoughtful person sending me this. This is really nice. It's Constitution of the United States of America. Wow, I never really read the Constitution, even though I took an oath in it. And they get the common law handbooks. And, wow, that's what the law really looks like. Oh, wow, that's the law? No kidding. You see, we're going to educate them there. Now they're being primed. And they're being primed because they're going to have to engage in the battle themselves, too. And so the next step after that, again, you could read this on our page, nationallibertyalliance.org, and under media, click on media campaign. We have first letter to the sheriff, which we're not going to read. So after the booklets go out, maybe a few days, a week later, let's say a week later, you send a letter out. Now, the letter comes from the unified, your state, common law grand jury, with an address on it. If you got a phone number, fine. If not, then don't worry about the phone number. They got an address. And you send out this letter, okay? And you can tweak it whatever way you want, but keep the message on point. The second letter after that, maybe a couple of days, a week later is probably good. You send a second letter out to your sheriff. With that, we add a copy of the true bill that was filed in all federal district courts. And then a week later, you send a third letter out. And that third letter we haven't written yet, but that should attach the quo warranto, which we are about to file. That's the paper we're getting ready to file. And then after that, there's a fourth letter to the sheriff. Okay, now we should continue writing letters, and they may write back, and we can start a communications, or you can go visit your sheriff and talk with them, or whatever you want to do. But we got to get a dialogue open with these people. We got to let them know who we are. And that we're just the people here in this county, just like in any other county across America, who's concerned about the problems in America. And now we have, and if you go to this page, let me read these first few sentences on this page. It is important to become oriented first before proceeding further on this page. Therefore, listen to our media campaign meeting, which we had. It's an MP3, and you can listen to that and get a better idea of some of the things in our mind. After becoming familiar with our plan by listening to the audio above, then you can participate in our media campaign discussion on our meetup site. And then we give a link to it, to our meetup site. Now, on that meetup site, you get into that link there, and you get onto the page. We have a Twitter thread where people are writing ideas and putting down different information. I think we make the point, I think it's 144 characters or something like that you can get into a tweet. Well, we want to get the tweet for the day or tweet for the week. So we want to get as many ideas of tweeting out, and then on the other page, when you go back to our page right there, we'll start a campaign at some point very soon. Until then, you can just put out any of these tweets. Everybody should be tweeting about NLA. But we'll put out the tweet for the week or the tweet for the day. And then we're going to ask everybody that does tweeting to get out there and let's get this thing going viral. We also have a Facebook thread. We're working and discussing those ideas with that. And again, Facebook messages, we'll want to get out there. And we'll try to get a message maybe once a week or something. I don't know. If we can get a lot of messages, we'll get a message every day. YouTube thread, we created a special YouTube for this next paper we're doing. And we're going to be doing a YouTube thread for discussing. It's open for discussion right now. People got ideas, get in there and start talking. Get some ideas going. And, of course, the sheriff's thread. We're going to need more letters to be written to sheriffs. People might come up with some ideas and put some things together. And we're going to try to get someone. I'm looking for someone right now that's going to take a hold of this work here on this campaign, this media campaign page, and start gleaming forth what they can out of this and put these ideas together and put them into use and formulate them, and then we'll put them onto our page and we'll come with a finished product. We have an email thread. We need to get email messages out. And again, we need these things to go viral. And maybe we'll have a message every day or every 3 days or something. I don't know. It depends on how much involvement and how many different ideas we can get together. And then we can start feeding it in through, you know, on our page. You know, on this date, send this one out. On that date, send that one out. Let's really get the word out. We put together a local news paper thread. We have alternative news thread. We have national news thread. We have a blog thread. So we have people who have some experience in these things, people who have ideas and ways to do different things, and they can help lead us along in understanding and what we could put together to write or to try to get out to this place, that place, or the other place. At some point, the national news will not be able to continue to ignore us. They'll only be able to go so long ignoring us. At some point, it just becomes too obvious that they're ignoring us and they're going to have to start talking. And that's where we got to get to. And one of the key things people need to realize is the pressure that is upon these judges right now, because we're revealing the truth and we're putting it on record everywhere, in every federal court in America, we're putting it on the record. This is a lot for them to bear. This is a problem for them. And how have they met us? They met us in the way that we believed they would meet us, in a way that we're thankful them to meet us, and that's with silence, absolute, deafening silence. And what does that mean? It means they don't know what to do. That's what it means. Okay, so we are moving along, we are winning, and the pressure is building, and it's building, and the next move, it's going to explode this pressure tenfold, 20-fold. It's just going to be huge. And again, our campaign of getting information out, coupled with that constant bombarding of the any place we can, the internet ultimately, let's get this word out. Okay, so this page is going to become, let me go back to this page, nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight media, click on the media campaign page. And this page here at some point, we'll put a calendar up, or maybe we'll post a calendar right here, or maybe we'll just put the daily calendar and click here and something, I don't know. And on that calendar, we'll have dates. And on those dates, we'll have send this out on this date, tweet this, email that, send this information to the news there, to send this to the local newspapers, you know, whatever it is. We just got to keep going, moving, pushing. And this, I believe, with the pressure, is going to start a landslide here. And, of course, we have to be ready to receive that landslide. We have to be organized, and that's what we're working on very diligently right now. We do have some states that we don't have real leadership in yet. There's only a few of them, but we need leadership there, and people need to get involved. Okay, let me see what else. Well, I guess that's it. From there, I guess we'll open up the mic for conversations if anybody has a question or a comment, an idea. Mic's open. You hit *6, you'll get into the queue, the Q&A queue. And first caller is Ann from South Carolina. Go right ahead, Ann.
Thanks, John, for taking my question. And that was a great opening thing. It was a really good way of presenting many of the points you're attempting to get across to people. Thank you. My question deals with, we've gotten the seal. We've connected with the person with the seal in our state. We just need the address for the post office. If someone on your committee or who has those things could send it to me, it would really help us out a lot. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had my mic muted when you were talking. Yeah, someone in your state has got to get the address. It's got to be an address from your state, preferably close to the to where you're at, because you're gonna putting this thing together and spearheading it. But we need you got to go down to the post office. You got a P.O. box. You don't need anything big, or you can go to they have these postal service places that have P.O. boxes, and you can do it there too. But anyway, you need to get a local address in your state, and then you have to, once the papers start to go out, you really got to keep an eye on these things. Try to check it every day if you can, or every few days at worst case. But they got to be checked, because we're going to be looking for people, these courts and these judges to respond. And once they do respond, immediately you need to scan it into a PDF form and email it to me, or fax it to me, either or. And we'll get into that information a little more down the road. Maybe next week we'll talk about that.
Well, see, the problem is that you've had us on the list that we didn't have one, and now we're not on the list, and we still have. The way I thought it was, someone did have the post office box. That's what I'm trying to run down.
Oh, yeah, I don't
like
know.
The seal.
Yeah, I know someone had the seal, but I don't think anyone
ever got
a P.O. box. Yeah, though, that's good. So now you have to get a P.O. box. Get together with a few people. It doesn't have to be you to get it. It could be any of the members of anybody else you're working with that wants to work with you on this, and get the seal. I mean, get the a P.O. box. And to get a P.O. box, you need a letterhead. I've heard from some people they didn't even need the letterhead, but bring one with you. Just create a letterhead with no address on it. There's a copy up on the jurist page,
on the
administrator's page. And then you'll need ID. Usually a driver's license is enough. They might want to see something else with your name on it, but I think they call for two forms of ID. But anyway, so you need your ID, and you need the letterhead, and they will give you a P.O. box. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult.
So you don't have any address for South Carolina?
I have
no
address for South Carolina whatsoever.
I was thinking that with the seal, our guy down in Charleston had to send an address with it. Okay.
Well, he probably had it sent to his own personal address, probably. But besides that, we weren't asking people yet at that point to get the P.O. boxes. Only now. And we only got about 5 states now that don't have P.O. boxes yet. And that's what
we're
holding us up.
Yeah, we were knocked off that. So I thought maybe you have it in your data place, and if we could find it where that is.
Yeah, South Carolina never had it.
Never had it. Okay.
Never had it.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll have to get one. As soon as you get it, go up to the form there for contact form and send me the info on what the P.O. box, P.O. address is as soon as you get it. Okay?
Okay. You got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Okay, next person, 585-385. Before you speak, tell us your state. What state are you from, and what's your first name?
This is me coming through. It's Eric. I am from the Courtroom Observation Network. And
hey,
I'm
how you doing, Eric?
Good,
from
John,
New York. Good.
Well,
Eric from New York. Okay.
Eric from New York, Western New York. A couple things I'm just going to run through. If you, my sources tell me, and I haven't confirmed this, unless they've changed it, if you go to a mailboxes, etc., you can get a P.O. box that actually shows up as a real address. So in case that lends any credibility to it.
True. You use the addresses at that station, and then you get a box in there, and you call a suite, and exactly.
It's a method of also getting a license in another state if you wanted to go to something like Tennessee that didn't require car insurance, one of the few states that still doesn't. When you mentioned earlier in your presentation disassociating yourself from certain people, I wanted to add maybe one more group of people you might want to address in the disassociation category. And this came out, this was aired out by some callers, I don't know who, from other states on some shortwave radio programs, that apparently, purportedly, rumor has it that certain people from, well, claiming to be from the National Liberty Alliance or something like it, or I guess with us, were threatening some sheriffs, saying, if you don't execute the will of the citizen grand jury, you know, the or else type of thing, and that's not appropriate. I don't think anybody should be threatening anybody, and I think you'll agree with that.
Absolutely. Anybody who does anything like that will be asked to leave, and you know, because that's not what we do, and that's only going to hurt us. It's going to damage us, and it's going to get them arrested is what it's going to do.
Absolutely. And I'm going to get personally involved if I hear about that from anybody.
Yeah.
No threats. Now, you can say, listen, Sheriff, I hope you'll be friendly to the citizen grand jury. You know, we will consider that in our next election.
Well, besides that, don't forget, we call this the common law grand jury, and a lot of people have called this the people's grand jury. They call it the citizen's grand jury, or just the, you know, whatever kind of a grand jury. We're the first ones that came up with the name common law grand jury, and we picked that very, very for a good reason, really, because we knew that the first reaction from these people in the courts, because they're so darn arrogant, their response would be, oh, no, the common law has been done away with. So that's where the argument goes, and that spoils their whole plan on trying to get us for what they tried down in Florida, simulating a court process or something like that, or, you know, a legal process. As a matter of fact, that's what they're doing, is simulating a legal process. But in any event, you know, we use common. It's very important that we use the name common law grand jury. And by the way, when you open up your PO boxes, get your addresses, make sure the name is Unified Florida or New York or South Carolina or whatever state you are from. Unified Texas Common Law Grand Jury. That's what you are, the Unified Florida Common Law Grand Jury. Now, nothing more, nothing less, and that's what you are. And that brings in the whole state. The counties don't need the address, because once we're in, your address will be the courthouse itself.
Point taken. Common Law Grand Jury. Got it. Now, you walked me right into my next point. Something that people may try to attempt to use in a friendly sort of fashion like you described, let's try to do this with a carrot instead of a stick. All of your public office holders, and including your sheriffs, and I witnessed this take place at one of the SCOPE meetings, and SCOPE is a gun rights organization here in New York, and the sheriff, the high sheriff of Wayne County, was speaking. By the way, he's a good guy, and he's done some really serious constitutional things for the community and for me personally lately. But they do have a problem, and this is where you can kind of challenge them and debate with them, and this is your in, and you're going to get them on this one. They take an oath with their right hand to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which says shall not be infringed, etc., and then they take an oath with their other hand to uphold the laws of the state of New York, which completely and totally conflict with the oath they just took with their other hand. So they are actually caught between two oaths that they took, and it's a great way to get in there and say your oath to the U.S. Constitution trumps the toilet paper that comes out of Albany.
Right. Well, I agree. That's a very good point, so... Good point.
And one more thing, I would encourage people to build their own little unit of courtroom observers to follow anybody who gets dragged into the system. Showing up with a dozen people really puts them back on their heels, because they don't like to see their corruption being witnessed by a large part of the community. So have your own little group, you know, within the National Liberty Alliance framework of courtroom observers, where you can kind of help out, almost a mutual defense pact. So if someone gets dragged in, all your friends and family and people associated with the NLA or whoever wants to support you can come along, and that really puts the system on notice. And that's a great place to encounter.
Yeah, let me add on to that. When you go in to the courts to help people out, make sure you have a big clipboard with paper on it, a pen in your hand, and every time that judge speaks, start writing. Even if you're drawing funny pictures of the judge, it doesn't matter what you're writing. Just pick up your pen. That's intimidation, and that makes him being very careful, and he realizes he can't play around with the tapes in the courtroom and the stenographer's thing. So,
and
but go ahead.
Do that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great way to keep them honest. Now, as far as you can also challenge them with the camera, the lobby of the courthouse is always fair to be filming in. That is open. Now, they will tell you they have to decide, the judge will decide on a case-by-case basis whether you can film the proceedings. They usually deny you even though the courts have already ruled that you have the right to film public court proceedings unless there's some kind of banishment of the cameras for big, you know, big cases and media reasons, but you have the right to film. And it's a great another way to challenge them and argue nicely, a little bit politely at the front door with the bailiff, well, could you please go ask the judge, because I know the courts have ruled that I have the right to film this proceeding, and that really makes them squirm. The bailiff will walk back with your camera in his hand and say, geez, you know, and they'll try to figure out a way to tell you you can't come in with your recording device. But it's a good way to at least let them know that you're really interested in documenting it. And in New York, all you have to do is write a letter to the next higher court and say, I want to exercise my right to film the following proceeding, and they have to grant it to you. They just make you jump through a few extra hoops. But don't forget the camera is one of your best friends in all this. And
well, that's a good point to know, and everybody should realize that. Anybody that's going to be going to court, you have 30 days or whatever the time they're giving you. You should start planning for that now. Get a camera in that courtroom. That's a good idea.
Yeah, and quite often with your courtroom observers, it's usually a trooper or police officer that you encountered usually will not show up if there's a bunch of people there that are gonna watch. They just won't show. We've often come out of a courtroom observer session in court for somebody, and then the cop will pull in right as soon as the proceedings are over, and it's like he got the phone call, you know, okay, they're gone now. But it also, you know, and it keeps the useful idiots in the system away from you in the future, because they see that you're one of the people who actually care enough to come in and do courtroom observation. And at those courtroom situations, you can hand people National Liberty Alliance documents. You can say, here, officer of the court, I just want you to have this. Read it on your own time when you're done with work. And if you get 1 out of 10 people that read it and care, you know, that's a big
right.
deal.
Yeah, we maybe hand out our jurist handbooks then. But we've got to be careful with that. They'll try to arrest you for that one.
That's about it for me, John.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Okay, next caller, 775-673. Can you give us your state and your first name, please?
Hello, my name is Tricia, and I'm from Nevada.
Tricia from Nevada. Go right ahead.
And I have a couple of questions. I had a couple of opportunities to do a presentation at some organizations regarding the common law grand jury, and I've been invited back as like an educational type thing, you know, which is a great forum to raise awareness about what we're doing. And this afternoon...
Can you get a little closer to your mic or your phone, because you're coming in a little low, but go ahead.
Let me try it again here. Is that better?
Well, let's try it. Go ahead.
Okay. I had gone to a religious liberty conference, and I got a card from someone who does a live radio interview type program, Just the Facts is what it's called. And he called me today and asked if I would be willing to do a spot on his radio program. And I, knowing that we were trying to do the media campaign and that I would want to check with you folks and make sure that would be okay, we've been told in the past not to engage the media. But
right.
In this particular instance, I read the letter, the first letter, not the one that's handwritten, the personal one, but the first one from the actual common law grand jury. And it looked like a very good presentation that I could do in the time frame, adapted, of course, but like a good presentation I could do with a 10-minute slot. And I wanted to verify it would be okay for me to do that.
Right. Now this is for radio?
It would be a radio program. It would be a local.
Okay,
radio.
And this is just for some kind of an ad, or they want to talk to you?
No, it's not an ad. He does a program called Just the Facts. This man has run for office in our state, and he's very concerned about things going on. And I had given him a handout that I had made up about the common law grand jury.
Yeah, but he wants to interview you on the radio?
Yes, not to interview, just to be able to explain what National Liberty Alliance is doing with the Commonwealth.
Gotcha. Okay, this is what I suggest. When it comes to radio and someone wants to talk with us on the radio, you should give them my number and my email address, and I do all the radio conversations. If it's someone for a friendly TV, you know, Gerard does that. And there are a few other people that have done this, and they're very much qualified to do it. But not everybody necessarily is qualified really to do this, because you really got to be able to answer the questions they're asking and make sure that you represent what NLA is doing particularly, because that's where their focus is going to be. And, of course, NLA's whole point is to educate people in order to take on these positions as administrators, in order to for the people to take control at the grassroots level. So that's what our job is, nothing more and nothing less. And so, if you want, pass my name and number. Give them 845-233-6560. I'll repeat that, 845-233-6560. And you can give them my email address, John, J-O-H-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. So they can get in contact with me, and I'm willing to go on any radio program. I've been on quite a few of them.
Well, this is one that's right in my town where they asked me to come down personally, and I said, well, I would have to know what you're going to ask me ahead of time, and I would know what I'm going to be answering. You know, I was going to be very much in control of this.
Right. Okay, well, if you do that and talk to me about it, I just want to make sure that you give an accurate picture of what we're doing and that they don't sandbag you or catch you in a situation and then you put out false information unwittingly. So, but yeah, okay, yeah, if it's something simple and if you know what they're going to ask prematurely, you know, then we could talk about it and you can represent us. And again, there are other people with National Liberty Alliance that we know, we have conversations with, that are very capable of doing this, and if they asked, I would not hesitate to say, sure, go right ahead, you know, because I know that they can handle it. But again, you know, we just got to be careful to make sure we get the message on point.
That was absolutely my concern as well, and that's why when I read in the media section today this letter that's going to be going to the sheriffs after the first one with the Constitution and the Jurist Handbook, I thought I could adapt some of this very well as just a presentation for this video.
John, we can't hear what that woman's saying.
Yeah, she's coming in low, I know. But can you talk a little louder maybe, because we're not getting you too. I'm hearing you, but it is a little difficult. But go ahead.
Is that better?
Oh, yes, that's fantastic.
Okay, I'm sorry. That does help. Thank you. Because I've done two or three other presentations for groups, and I am used to doing group presentations, I used to work in marketing, and I did group presentations on a regular basis. So it's not like I'm unfamiliar with this type of format.
All right, well, get the information, get the what you're going to be talking about, some notes
okay.
or something. Let's get on. Let's get me one evening, at 233 number or Skype me, John Durash on Skype, and let's talk a little bit about it. Make sure that you're prepped and ready to go. That's all.
Okay, very good.
And look,
well, I'll be happy to do that.
Here's something that's very important. Okay, you know, you come to a point sometimes you don't have the answer. Nothing wrong with saying, "Hey, I'm not too sure about that. I'll have to get back to you on that," or something like that. You don't have to answer every question.
I'm absolutely aware of that. I know that whoever is asking the questions is always in control. And if you break down the word asking, it's as king, and we are the sovereigns after all. So that's important in anything that we do. So, again, being in a controlled situation would be very important. I also know that we are searching for an exclusive media outlet. Has that been found, or how is that search going?
We found a few journalists who are willing to pick up that ball. And we can always use more if they're friendly.
Okay. Well, I have contact with another one that I'm going to try to see about doing, and he is in a management position, or if not an ownership position, of an online 24/7 news source, actually. So, and they have actually broken a couple of stories that the mainstream media did pick up on after that. So I'm going to see about getting in contact with him, and then I will guess would put him in contact with you folks as well, correct?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, very good. That's excellent.
Okay.
Thank you so much, and blessings. We need to continue to work together to make this work for everyone.
Well, amen. Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to the next caller. Let's see, 518-398. Give us your, it looks like New York, so what's your first name?
Lil from New York.
Hey, Lil, how you doing?
Okay, I was wondering if you could tell us what's going on in Florida with Terry, Terry Trussell?
Well, he was, I think it was, what was it, today, no, yeah, Monday, today. Yeah, he was arrested this morning in the courtroom. Hold on, was that Friday? Because I've just found out about it over the weekend, so it must have been...
It was Thursday?
Yeah, it must have been on Friday or Thursday, yes, you're right. And what happened was that he did go in there using some UCC stuff, and not UCC stuff, but sovereign stuff, you know, and I think the judge didn't particularly care for that, and some of his paperwork had that in it, too. We tried to tell him not to use that stuff, but, you know, he insisted it's his case, so he used it. We're going to do a paper for him. We're working on it right now, habeas corpus, and see once what we can do for him. He's kind of a unique case for anybody following that case because he was actually on a statutory grand jury, and then he revealed fraud to the judge, and the judge he sort of ignored it, and he kept reporting things to different people, and they wouldn't do anything with it, so he took it to the next step. They didn't like it. Then they did an indictment on the prosecutor who was tampering with the jury. They got him for jury tampering, and that's when they came down on him. And so they sent out some investigators. It took a while. We do know that what was it, a month ago, that he was actually arrested and released within 24 hours. And, you know, I got to tell you, he kind of drug his feet a little bit on the paperwork, and I think he should have got a little earlier on and moved it into the federal courts. And that's what they're trying to do right now. But we're going to assist that. I'm working on the papers right now with others to write a habeas corpus.
I did hear that he had an accident in his jail cell? Did you hear that?
No, that was, he thinks that they might have made an error with his medication. He's on medication because he was going down the stairs and he started to feel faint, and so he stepped back. He was on the top of the staircase, so he had stepped back. I guess if he would have kept going, he would have fell down that whole flight. But he stepped back, and then the next thing he knew, he woke up a couple hours later in the infirmary. And they couldn't find nothing wrong with him. Particularly, they did search, I guess, for maybe wrong drugs. But even if they come up with that, I'm sure they're not going to say anything. Mm. And whatever happened was either a natural thing or an error in giving drugs, because I don't think they follow protocol as well as you would in a hospital on giving, you know, certain medications. But I don't know. But nothing seems to be running afoul there. Let's put it that way.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Next caller, Kevin from New York. How you doing? Well, maybe you're the anonymous caller. Who's on the call right now? Kevin, are you here? Maybe that's just an anonymous call. You know, anybody, let's see, Kathleen, anybody with the word anonymous next to them means they don't have a phone number. And so, well, I guess you know that. But by putting a name next to them, what happens is next time someone comes on with an anonymous, as an anonymous, they're going to come on with that person's name. So it won't necessarily be them. So you might want to fix that phone, but they're not talking, so I'll go to the next caller. Okay, 419-902, what's your first name and your state, please?
Allen, Ohio.
Okay.
I got a question for you. What do you tell people when they say that you don't have any separation of church and state?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was distracted. Who's calling now?
Al.
From
Ohio?
Oh, from Ohio. Al from Ohio. Go right ahead.
Okay. What do you tell people when they say that you don't have any separation of church and state?
Right. Well, we don't.
Did you hear me?
The first, yeah, we don't have any separation of church and state. That's Russia.
Well, I know. Does that work out to be a negative point sometimes?
I'm sorry, does it work out to be a negative point?
Yeah, for some of the naysayers.
Yeah, in so much as, look at, they have been working on us all of our lifetimes. And they have done everything they can to remove God from our society. And so they've done all kinds of things. And I remember when I was a kid, look at, Christmas was Christmas, Merry Christmas. Everybody said Merry Christmas all the time. I grew up in New York City in the Bronx. You know, it was like everybody said Merry Christmas, okay? And
right.
Go down to New York City now, people are afraid to say Merry Christmas. And you see Xmas more than ever. You know, they don't afraid to use the name of Christ, and they're afraid to put a manger up someplace. Or, you know, little towns will put a manger up. They've got problems there and all this stuff. Well, that's the enemy working, telling us to stop talking about God, and we're silly enough to fall for it. Look, we are founded on Christian morals. We are founded on the Holy Bible. That's where we come from. If we lose that, we lose our identity. We lose America. We lose common law. We lose the blessings of God if we give in there. So we can't. And the First Amendment does not protect us from religion. It's the protection, you know, for religion. If you, whatever you want to believe, you can believe. You can believe in nothing. And we should honor that. That's your business. You don't have to believe in anything. If you want to be a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim, that's all your business. You work it out with your God in your closet, and you work it out. That's none of anybody's business. But no one should shut anyone down for that. And people have gotten hypersensitive about that. Even the Bible says, you know, that we should not be ashamed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed.
Right, right.
And
I agree with it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I hear it from people all the time, you know, hey, there's no separation of church and state. I thought that was a good thing. Well,
mm-hmm. Right.
Not really.
No, well, it is.
And the other thing is in regards to the media campaign, I would assume that you want to use very precise language.
Yes, that is why we're doing something over on our meetup group, and there's a link from our page to the meetup group where people can get involved and start putting ideas and putting things out. I'm looking for someone right now to take charge of that group so that they can start to gleam out the good points and start making list of things that we're going to use off of that. So there's where people can participate in what things we can say or should say, and then we'll go through it and make sure we say it in the right way. And, you know, sometimes we have to be very careful with how we put something across. I mean, we certainly, look, we are sovereigns. Anybody that is an American is sovereign. Goodness, but we got to be careful, unfortunately, not to necessarily use that word in any of our campaigns, because then they'll immediately say, aha, aha, sovereign citizens, cop killers, you see, because they've been taught that. So we had to.
Real easy.
Yeah, so there's
I'm a pretty good writer, so maybe I can help out in some way.
Definitely. Get out there and start doing so, putting some ideas out. But there are a few words we want to be careful about not using, not that we want to give them any credibility, but just so that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, you know?
Right, right. Well, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, our next caller is Jason from New Jersey. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. Thank you so much. I have a couple of challenges. We try to get online via our cell phone. We can't sign in to NLA as a member. It doesn't permit you to do so if that glitch can be resolved, that would be fantastic.
Oh, you mean on the meetup?
No, I'm talking about the cell phone to meet up, just to be able to sign in and see what's going on your cell phone, unlike the tabletop.
What program are you using?
No, it's just a regular, Safari. And I don't know. Then Android. Is there a problem with what search engine?
Well, I believe Android works. There's a lot of different ones that work. We use Drupal as our programming base, And one of the reasons we chose them is because they're pretty much connected with all of the different things. So all of our programs can be, you know, retrieved. All our pages can be retrieved on most of your devices. And I'm sure there are some maybe that maybe it don't work. I don't know. But what you could do is go to the tech, click on tech support, and pose the question there. And tell them you're having a problem with that. Is it that we don't support it or whatever the case may be? They will get back to you. They may take a day or two, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours, but they'll get back to you and they'll give you an answer. You may be hitting on something that there's a problem with and they'll fix it.
Another issue, I sent on to via Skype the National Homeland Security, submitted like 14 responses. Did you get a chance to look at that?
I did. It was an interesting paper. I appreciate your work. And, you know, we were just thinking on the same point recently. And I forget who we were having a conversation with. And we have a contact with someone with Homeland Security here in New York. And we're going to try to make contact and try to get a list of different contacts across the nation. Because, yes, yeah, some of those people are regular people. And let's clue them in before they even come out looking at us and who we are. So we'll try to make some kind of a campaign or contact with them, but I don't know whether such a list exists.
Well, also a fact that the things that, like, I just saw an article, the Anti-Defamation League, which is part of the B'nai B'rith group, it's no longer there. My God bless my mother. She would be turned over in a grave because she was very much.
Are you talking about that email that went around with the reporting on that?
No. All right.
Because the ADL did a story on us back in February of 2014.
Yes.
Someone found it necessary to resurrect that and get it into the email. And I question what that's all about because, you know, look, we're real good suckers because we've been trained so well to jump through hoops and destroy ourselves. We spy on ourselves. We hold each other responsible in prisons. And I mean, it's and until we break out of that, and most of the people with NLA are breaking out, and other groups too, you know, coming out of that and realizing, wait a second here. So, look, we don't need to repeat what the enemy says or writes. Let it be a water under the bridge and let's move on, because the only thing that gives them any resurrection of those things is us. If we keep, pushing it around, just ignore it. Forget about it. I ignore all negative news now. I have found that, you know, when you go to try to fix the record, that's when you get yourself in trouble, because they're ready. That's the whole plan. They're masters at this, to assault you and destroy you. And actually, all we're doing is helping to lead more people to them, because we're drawing people and they get stuck on the negative stories. So we're only hurting ourselves by doing and responding. And I found when we totally just ignore them, it just goes right away. So that's what I do. They're all on an ignore for me. I just ignore them.
Well, again, just a point of information, the ADL and the Southern Law Center are in complicity with the National Homeland Security to help to create the falsehood. But I just want you to know that in New Jersey, they last Thursday.
Right, and we'll give them the other side of the coin.
Right, and they had the meeting, and if everyone could start writing and asking them what is the definition, new definitions of sovereign citizens, I mean, that way we keep it up. Also, it puts pressure on them.
Well,
also,
we do know what their definition is now, and they try to always tag that on us. As a matter of fact, the last paper, which was put in, I think it was September 3rd or 2nd or somewhere around there, or the 5th, we filed the paper, and it was concerning this very subject matter, and that's been filed in every federal court, by the way. So if you go back and look there, we've addressed that issue right there. But that's a good paper to use. Okay, that true bill is a good paper to get a copy of and get it to the Homeland Security. Each area has a phone number. I don't know how big an area, maybe one for the state. I don't know. I have no idea how it works.
It's basically in New Jersey. Is only one. But what is that paper, John? Again, so I can. I didn't catch.
Yeah, that was the last paper we filed. If you go up to media page, click on breaking news. Okay, you will come to all the news. Let's see which one it is. I'll tell you in a second. The true bill of information: conspiracy, terrorist, and mental disorders, and basically is what the courts are doing to the people, you know. So that's a very, very good paper to give to anybody that's in any police force, you know, even to the sheriff. The sheriff, matter of fact, we're sending that paper attached to, I think, letter number 2 to the sheriff, because they need to read that, and when they read it, they'll see this has been filed in every federal court across the nation. So this should be something that should get their wonders about, and they should read it. So
I get another issue too is that I'm on Shake Wake Radio on Mondays and Fridays from 2 to 4. Anyone who wishes to participate, are welcome there. And also, I'm on with Lydia Radin, her Crooked Doctor show on 6 to 8 on Fridays. So again, the NLA folks are doing a great job spreading the word, and it's get on, do what you got to do. Everyone can start their own blog, radio. I mean, get the word out, because the more that we are putting a positive word on what's going on, they won't be able to do it anything against us. Also, I saw an article they are stealing money on plain sight from people driving on the highways. This is legal.
They've been doing that for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I remember 2020 did a report on that a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I think it was Stossel that did that on 2020 years ago. And this has continued. Yeah, it's highway robbery, real highway robbery by the cops. The cops used to do it.
Yeah, illegal highway robbery and with impunity. But again,
it's statutory. I don't know about it being legal, but it is statutory. They made statutes to permit the cops to do these things, and they literally take the money back. You never see it again.
Right, that happened to my niece. I know. It happened to my niece, who was taking money from her father's estate, and they took it against.
Yeah,
her.
I would suggest anybody that's transporting large sums of money for one reason or another. If they have a lot of the debt that they're transporting, I would strongly suggest to wrap it up in tinfoil thoroughly. Stick it in a box and stick it in your trunk, and I understand they can't see it with tinfoil on it, because inside all of our paper debt called the dollar, whether it's a $5 bill, a 10, 20, or whatever, there's a metal strip in there, and that metal strip has the ID number for that dollar or that paper, and also the denomination and other information, I guess. So if you're traveling, I don't know if cops are using this or how good it could work if they are using it, whether they can actually hit you like radar to discover whether you have a large sum of cash in there. I do know that they have this kind of thing, you know, that they could use if you were to walk through a scanned area, they can pick it up, because that's why they put it in there, so you could be scanned to see if you're carrying large sums of cash. And then they'll tell you that they believe it's drug money, and they'll take it from you.
Again, no habeas corpus. In September, I sent a piece of news release to you. Was it useful to you? You said you wanted to send it. I sent it out to you through your email back in September.
Yeah, I don't recall, to be honest with you. I get so much mail, I just don't recall, so...
Could there be, just instead of everything going to you, to John, if it went to a specific email,
anything for news media type thing should go through the meetup group, because we're going to get some people to deal with that and to glean off of those things ideas and help formulate them in ways that we can then put it on the website for use.
Yeah, and another I had an April who's a woman who's been violated in New Jersey, and in that program, she found out that the judge is his own corporate person and is doing Dreyfus work in as a judge for probation. And the thing is that if she took an oath, you can't take an oath of office and be a business at the same time. Your loyalty cannot be divided. It is either you're going to serve the people or you're going to serve your pocket. And let's face it. I'm sorry. Don't they serve themselves both in the pocket and against us? Correct myself.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, they all have this way of making money using their servant seat, which they think they're the masters. But anyway, all right. Anything else?
No,
Jason?
John. That's it. God bless.
Okay.
And again, keep up the storm. The more we question them, the more they fluster. The more they fluster, the more they bust. And the more we bust them, the more we can be free. So let us be free and let us live in liberty. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Bye.
You're welcome.
Okay, our next caller, John from Connecticut.
Yes, on the P.O. boxes, if people live far away from them, you can request the P.O. or the post office to actually email you so you don't have to run back and forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, when their mail comes in. Yeah, I know all of the private boxes have that service. If you're using a private service, yeah, P.O. box is the same way, yes.
And the post office is doing the same thing, so a lot of people are...
I didn't know that they were offering that. No kidding. Okay, that's good news. It's good to know.
So I just want to give that tidbit because a lot of people are unaware of that.
Right, and also, you know, other people. You could take turns with other people picking up the mail, and if someone lives closer by the mail, they can check it every day, and if something comes in, then you can meet up with them and get it. So, but yeah, people should work out things as best they can to keep it as convenient as possible. So if they have an email thing for you, you got mail. I wonder how that would work with advertisements, though, because that's a problem.
I think everything. I've been checking it, and I haven't, it's true to form so far, so.
Okay. Alrighty.
I think maybe it's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll send myself a look like an advertiser and see how quick they respond back.
Right. Well, bear in mind, you know, we haven't sent anything out yet, so we shouldn't be getting any mail yet except junk mail. So.
I know.
But, you know.
That's for sure. But it's just
okay.
Good to know that. That's all. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, John.
Right.
Okay. Next caller, Sarah from Florida.
Hi. Good evening, John. This is Sarah from South Florida.
How you doing?
Okay. I just wanted to let everybody know in regards to, you know, trolls, shills, COINTEL groups that, you know, collectively attack anybody that's trying to stand up or share information or do different actions like Terry Trussell and, you know, the sworn-in common law grand jury, people have to realize that we're actually making progress when these things happen because they wouldn't try fighting so hard if they didn't see that we were making very serious progress and moving ahead. So people have to take this not as a personal assault, except in the fact that if they are verbally or action-wise attacking, it's because of our collective success. So I just want people to keep that in mind and not have any fear base when this happens. This is just a normal response to people that have been proven to be corrupt, proven to be wrong, and this is just how they lash out at people. And we have to, like the other gentleman earlier said, have groups that show up that stand in solidarity so that they, the ones causing trouble, know we're not alone, because the more we're unified together, the more, even more successful we're going to be in pushing through.
Right. Yeah, united we stand and divided we shall fall. So we must be united and focused all on the same prize. And the prize, of course, is getting our republic back. So, all right, anything else, Sarah?
No, that's just it. I just wanted to say Godspeed to everybody. And, you know, any type of questions or whatever people have, just start learning more. Go to Facebook, National Liberty Alliance. Go to the website. Learn more if you have questions or if you're confused about what's going on, because the more you learn, the better tool you'll be.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's take our next caller. Is that Linda from Florida?
Hi, John. This is Roger.
Yeah, I thought it would be Roger. I see your wife's name up there. Okay. Yep. Roger from Florida. Go right ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to clarify some of the things about what took place Thursday in Terry's case and make it clear for everybody to understand. Terry didn't do anything about filing any kind of commercial liens or calling himself
right.
Sovereign or anything like that. At 9:30, before his 10 o'clock meeting, the deputy sheriff came out and presented Terry with a 3-page document. And he told Terry that the judge said if Terry wanted to speak at his own arraignment at 10 o'clock, he had to sign the document. But because the document had Terry's name in all caps on it, Terry knew that if he signed the document, he was giving the Admiralty Court jurisdiction over the upcoming arraignment. So he declined to sign it, and then at 10 o'clock during his arraignment, the judge came in and called out his Terry George Trussell there, and Terry stood up and in a clear voice said, "I am here to speak on that matter." And then the judge said something else, or shortly thereafter said, "Is Terry George Trussell there?" And Terry said, "Yes, Judge, I'm here." And again, very clear, and he was the only man standing except for the sheriffs. And then the judge continued to completely ignore Terry's response and said one more time, "Is Terry George Trussell here?" And without waiting much time at all, and Terry said, "I'm right here, Judge." And without waiting at all, the judge told the court recorder, "Let the record show that Terry George Trussell did not appear, and I'm issuing a capias on failure to appear and suspending bond." And then he rushed out of the courtroom. Sheriffs came over, grabbed Terry by the arm, took off his outside shirt, moved him outside of the courtroom, wouldn't let anybody move within the courtroom. It was filled with people watching this and witnessing this. And then took him outside the courtroom, put some handcuffs on him, and took him back to the jail. So, in essence, none of Terry's script that he had prepared, nor any of the papers that he had prepared, came into play at all. The key element of all of the action was the command by the judge to sign the paper if he wanted to speak, and his decision, no, he was not going to sign the paper.
What was that paper for? Was that he was saying he wanted to represent himself, or that he
it's
needed
very,
to receive
it's
representation?
A very mushy paper, no hard facts in it whatsoever, with about 2.5 pages of information on it having to do with you're probably going to fail if you try to represent yourself, and here are some of the possible benefits if you hire a lawyer. And there are each line or each paragraph had a separate place for him to initial as he went through the document, and then a final signature page where he's supposed to sign it. So
okay.
It's a very soft thing, and in our opinion, from everything we could tell, it was aimed at gaining jurisdiction over him.
Well, it absolutely was. And let me suggest to everyone, anybody gets that kind of a paper in court, I would sign it, but I would put all rights reserved on it. and just let it go. It's all a fraud. They're not going to use it on you anyway. They're not going to later on say, aha, you see, you signed this and it had your cap name on it and this, that. They'll never do that in a million years. You know, Thornton, when you go through the Thornton lectures, he makes that point. He says, don't even bother getting lost in it. And I agree with him. Don't get lost in that stuff. But we do have to be careful. You know, you're not going to give them, you know, authority over you. I know someone who they arrested because they refused to answer when they said, do you understand? And this was in the Supreme Court, by the way, here in New York. And he didn't want to answer that. So he had him detained so that they could do a psychological on him. And what I would suggest is not to say to the judge, you don't understand, because you clearly do understand in the way we understand the words, okay? You know, you could come back and say, well, I comprehend exactly what you're saying. From that standpoint, sure, I understand. That kind of neutralizes it if you're concerned with using, you know, saying those kind of words in a court. I definitely would never call myself a citizen in court, but there's nothing wrong with that word outside the court because, look, we're, you know, even our founding fathers used that word citizen. I don't see a problem with it. But they related to the 14th Amendment, which was fraud, and it goes on and on and on to this other stuff and their other fraud. So I understand that. That's why when we go into court, we identify ourselves as one of the people. And that's, and again, that's a Thornton thing. He brought that up, and very good. I utilize it all the time. It's one of the ways we open up a court of record. I'm one of the people of New York, and in this court of record, I so on and so forth. Another thing you don't want to really do is be the defendant. Remember, you know, when you go into a court, even though they claim that you're the defendant, that's a nisi prius court. It's not a court of record. So you can respond with your paperwork and open up a court of record, and now you become the plaintiff. I'm always the plaintiff everywhere I go. Now, Thornton teaches that you become the counter plaintiff, and I went along with that at first until I gave it some more thought, and I think he made an error with that one. I definitely would not call myself not even a counter plaintiff because they're in a false court. You're in the real court. You're taking them from that court into your court. So you got to open your court. You're not a counter plaintiff. You are the plaintiff, and they are the defendants, or they play different roles. We'll call the police officer the complainer, okay? But anyway, you know, it is a game you got to play with words, but I wouldn't get too lost on it. I know one time I didn't cross the bar. Things worked out well for me in that court anyway. But I determined inside myself, I'm going to cross that bar because it doesn't mean nothing. By me refusing to cross the bar would give them credibility. So these things you have to really think about if you got to go to court on how to do them. And they are coming down on people that are giving them resistance in the court. And if they think you don't know what you're doing and they're not frightened of you, well, they're going to take you down. There's no doubt about it.
Let's make one thing very clear. The reason why they're trying to take Terry down is because he did report official corruption in
absolutely
the form of the state attorney. And
that was the reason why they wanted him in jail. Absolutely, no doubt about it. That's why they arrested him. All of that was because of that.
Right. And it doesn't matter at what stage you are in the game. That's always going to be a risk until we really gain full respect from the existing law enforcement process.
That's true. That's why we have to educate our sheriffs, and we have to do it now. Every state should be on a campaign. Every state on their next meeting, if they haven't done on the last meeting, need to be talking about the sheriff campaign. You need to get your booklets out to the sheriffs in your state. Let's get them educated. Anything else, Roger?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, appreciate it. Okay, next caller, Donna from California.
Hey, this is Donna. Hey, wanted to ask about the first letter to send out. Until I could order my books, because you want a Juris Handbook and a little Constitution book sent with the letters, right?
Right, and talk to people. There's a lot of people in California that have gotten books, and maybe, you know, you can talk with them, and you know, all of you should chip in and work this out. So nobody has to pay. No one person has to pay the burden. But Yeah, if you got 58 counties, you're going to need 58 booklets, and there's people in California that's already got them, so talk with them. So it's something you can get going on. What you do need, maybe, I don't know if you have them, but maybe someone has them, is the constitutional books. And if you go out to our page, you know, on our website, you go to the media campaign page, and you will see a link there on where to order constitutional handbooks, and of course a link that leads you to other place on our site to get the common law handbooks. But
yeah,
ahead,
I know,
Donna,
where to get the books. I just can't afford the books yet.
Right. Well, talk to others. You see, no one person should take the burden. If you got 10 or 15 or 20 people coming to a state call, then you can. Everyone throws in a couple of bucks, and you're there. And for people who really
yeah.
can't afford to throw anything in, well, fine, you know. But it'd only be a few bucks a piece if you do it that way. But some people want to cut to the chase, get it done right away, and they just jump right up, throw the money in, let's get it done. And that's cool, too, you know. That's what we did in New York. I took all the books we needed because I have both, and I immediately sent it out to the person handling our campaign on this. So they got the booklets. I sent them a whole bunch of envelopes. And now they'll package them and write the letter and put the papers in, and they'll buy the stamps, and it'll be done.
Yeah, I just, it looks like I'm going to be the one that has to put my name on the letter because I can't find anybody that wants to put their personal information on a letter to the
Where's
sheriff.
Where's Dave? Give a call to Dave. He should be running this program.
Oh, Dave, okay.
Call Dave and find out where they're at. They may already be doing this. Get involved with them. Okay?
Okay.
Anything else?
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay, thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next caller, 573-556. What's your first name and where are you calling from? What state?
This is Daryl from Missouri.
Missouri Daryl. How you doing, Daryl from Missouri?
Outstanding. Reason I called is tonight's calls had a lot of trouble on the transmission. Several times I was connected through the website, and several times the call had stopped and started over because they had lost connection and they could not hear you, but we could.
And right, yeah, the problem was on Shake and Wake side, not our side, you're right. They didn't realize that. They thought I was disconnected or something. But I did hear them over saying that they lost connection with us, so I don't know how that happened. So maybe they lost hearing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but it was kind of frustrating when I kept losing the call.
Right.
Because they lost call.
Right.
I just wasn't sure whether you were aware of that situation.
Yeah, I'm aware that it happened, and it was probably a good 5 minutes plus that there was a kind of a disconnect. And there is, I don't know whether I did, maybe I did post this. I have to go check. There is a special number that if people are getting dropped off the number that they're calling in on, there's a special number you can use to gain access, and I'll have to post that. You know, when you go on to the special number, it'll give you directions, you know, give us the number you normally call in on this and what's the code, and then they'll pipe you in a different way, so.
Oh, okay. And another thing, too, maybe
no,
I'm
it was
wrong.
Actually I'm Skype.
I'm sorry?
Oh, Skype was your problem then, huh?
No, I'm not on Skype.
But I think Rick just piped in and says it was actually Skype, so it must have been Skype that had...
You know what? I got so frustrated that I just rebooted, and when I tried to reboot, Skype was saying updating your Skype experience. So Skype was probably trying to interfere and cause an update and kicking you guys or something, but we never had that problem before, and hopefully it's okay now. So everything, the stream has been rolling along since. So
right.
Yeah, that's never happened before. Sorry about that.
And anybody that is
Microsoft, by the way,
Yeah, I know.
Bill Gates and Microsoft grabbed Skype. They own it now, so.
Yep. Yeah, they own it all.
Oh, that's
and they, I think they, there's a connection with them into YouTube, I think, too. So, but anyway, that second phone number for people, and I'll post this if it's not posted, is 559-546-1400. And remember, if you're getting disconnected from the phone call and you're really having a hard time, just go to the page. Go to the Monday night page, click on that, and listen in there. It streams right from our website, or you can go to Shake and Wake. They're streaming it. And also, you know, there's the text chat you can go to over there. So whatever you want to do.
Well, that's where I was. I was on our website.
Right. Well, when they lost the stream, you know, that's where they had the problem.
Right. And also, I was wondering, we still got the chat, don't we? The chat screen on our website?
Yeah, it's still there.
Okay, I haven't been able to get it to come up. I guess I have to keep working on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been on it in a while. I'm always focused in on the controls here, so I never really look in over there. So, Gerard, are you over there? Is chat working, do you know, or anybody on chat? Anything else? I'm sure Gerard or someone will tell us as we go if it's working.
Yeah, I'm not there, but I'll check it out. I don't know.
All right, Gerard will check it out, and he'll let us know.
If you have a question for John and can't get on the call and you'd like to ask, you can ask in by going to shakeandwakeradio.com and scrolling down to the Chatango site. Create an anonymous name, and you can ask your question, and we'll pass it to John. Thanks.
Okay, thanks,
ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
Anything else, Darryl?
No, sir. I'll let somebody else have a chance to talk now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go to next person. Is that you, Paul, from Hawaii? Paul from Hawaii. You there? Hawaii, Paul. Okay, we'll take on that. Again, Kathleen, that's an anonymous caller. Might have just came in and picked up on Hawaii, Paul, and just attached itself to him. So you might want to dump that on there, too. Okay, our next caller, 508-317, first name and state, please.
Richard from Vermont.
Richard from where?
Vermont.
How you doing, Richard from Vermont?
Okay. Look, I got a set of the letters all set up, ready to go to the sheriffs, but I still can't find anybody that's got any information that has been returned to me about where the seals are.
Okay, why don't you give me a call tomorrow sometime, late
Not
morning
a problem.
Is good,
I'll do that.
And we'll talk, okay? We'll see if we can't help you find them.
Second,
all right, and listen, for the letters, the first letter, which is a handwritten letter, there's no seal, and we don't use the name Unified Grand Jury.
Unless I'm ready to follow
right.
it up.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Thank you. Okay. Next caller, 786-253. What's your first name and your state?
Mario from Miami, Florida. How you doing, John?
California. How you doing, Mario?
Mario from Miami, Florida.
How you doing? Okay, how you doing? Oh, from Florida. Okay, how you doing?
From Florida. How you doing? Can you
Good.
Hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm calling because, I have a comment, and this is the first time calling, and I didn't know this. As you guys know, we have a very serious problem. Here in Florida, for instance, 490 children have died under the supervision of the family court system. And my family has been a victim of this outrage. And I'm starting a campaign, a media campaign, and actually tomorrow I'm running an ad in the local newspapers, which in the past has been blocked. You know, miraculously, they actually allow to run this ad. And I just want to read it real quick. It says, attention, help us save our children. In the last 6 years alone, 490 children have died under the care of the family court system, while those mainly accountable for their death are not held responsible. Please help us protect our children by joining the Pink Slip Project at www.newdutch.com. Then I put something that says, notice of termination of employment. Dear Honorable Judge, you have failed protecting the best interests of the children of Florida. Therefore, we the people hereby serve, notify that your services, lack thereof, are no longer desired or required. You are fired. I really believe that we need to raise public awareness, and we, at least in my case, you know, I'm a physician. I deal with kids, and the horror that I've seen that this court has done with our children must be told to the people. And I really appreciate you guys, you know, the effort that you're doing. I'm kind of new. You know, I'm learning. I just met some people actually this weekend.
Okay.
But I believe that you guys are in the right direction.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, and we are very much aware of the problem in family court. Family court is the most hideous court system in the world, in my opinion. The destructors of the family unit itself. I mean, it's the core of America is the family, and they are destroyers of the family. Who ever thought of this idea to give every child and every person in there a lawyer to talk on their behalf and using statutes to talk on everyone's behalf, and then things being decided by a lawyer? I mean, where does that come into play with a family, and how could that bear any help on a family? That's not going to help anything. And it's a serious problem, and I think we have to address it very seriously and with a heavy hand when we get into authority and power.
You know where it gets more serious, John, is that, for instance, in my case, okay, my kids were taken away from me for the sole purpose. The only reason, okay, that they were taken away is because I pray with them the prayer of the armor of God, Ephesians 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's absolutely unbelievable that this is happening in the United States.
Right. It's evil. It's evil. And this is an epidemic. It's across the nation. It's happening everywhere. They're making money off of our children, and that's why it's happening. And these
people are just
evil.
But we will fix it.
We the people, will fix this problem. We can't do anything until we get into the power and bring the people into the court system. And that, of course, is what we're working on. And that should be everyone's goal. Everybody should be working to get the people into the courts so that we can take control of this insane, out of control system. With all of these judges. Now, look at this is you know, ultimately these judges. It's RICO on steroids. These people, you know, organized crime. Everything in their court is just it's horrible.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, sir. One last thing, okay? Sorry to take so long. What really unbelievable and. Have you heard of the case of Nubia Barahona?
Who?
It was a very well-known case here in Miami, a child that was found tortured and killed. The brother was also tortured. Two of her siblings were also tortured by foster parents. Okay? The main culprit in that, you know, that basically caused their death was a report from a quote-unquote psychologist. Okay, her name, Vanessa Archer. This individual basically ignored all the evidence in the case. Well, she didn't even get a slap in her hand. And even worse, she was actually promoted to other cases in the court system. Actually, she is the one that was promoted to see my case. Okay? Imagine that in my case, DCF here is the Department of Children and Family, they had a psychologist, an independent psychologist, do an evaluation on me. When I go to the judge and I hand the evaluation to the judge tells me, sorry, I'm not going to read this because it was done one day before I gave the order, and forced me to go with this other psychologist who was recommended by my ex's attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, they're evil. There's nothing else to say. We have to stop them, and we, the people, are going to stop them. You know, sooner or later, we're going to stop them, and the people will hold them accountable. So, yeah.
Look for that ad tomorrow. It's going to be in the Miami Herald. And pray for us here, and we'll keep. We know the victory is ours. So,
yep.
Thank
Amen.
You, sir.
Thank you, Mario.
God bless you.
Bye bye. You too. Godspeed. Okay, Eric from New York again. Go right ahead. Same Eric?
Yeah, it's Eric again, John. I would encourage Mario to stay involved with the National Liberty Alliance and print up as many flyers and pieces of paper, 3x5 cards or little business cards that say NationalLibertyAlliance.org, and pass them out everywhere he is, when he's in court, when he's out on the street, at the restaurant, wherever, and just get people involved, because we all have to join in kind of one big group right now to get things done here. We can't all be flying around with our own little fiefdom trying to get something done, you know. And as, even though we all have our own cars and we all got to, you know, pay attention to our thing, we got to all, you know, stay together in this. So focus on, I would highly recommend Mario and all his friends and people focus on the National Liberty Alliance. Stay involved with us and we'll be down to help you clean up those for better use. thank you. Thanks for catching me there. It tears my. He did a great presentation, Mario. That was good, and I'm glad you're involved. What a heart-wrenching story. The family courts are absolutely disgusting, and they have nothing to do with saving any children. It's all about tearing up the family and creating the state control over your child.
Right.
I wanted to mention. Where's my pick? Let me just go back here a second. Back to the thing on the courts, some techniques, some little... first of all, real quick, there's a lot of sabotage going out, John. One of my associates today Googled NationalLibertyAlliance.org. The tab at the top came up, but all he got was a white screen. And I said, okay, well, listen, right now go to startpage.com, the private search engine that searches Google for you and keeps you anonymous. And your website came right up. So it was obvious what was going on there today. People don't use Google and expect to get anything done. It's the Google Security Agency. Use StartPage. It's run by activists, and I would trust StartPage over any of the other search engines. So anyway, let me move on back to the courts real quick, and then I'll let somebody else get in. One little bit of, if you get dragged in to their jurisdiction, which you always want to challenge from the beginning, but should you get sucked in, one of the things you can challenge them on, and pursuant to Article 6 of the Bill of Rights, it says here, it's real short, in criminal prosecution...
By the way, you know, just a real quickie, you know, instead of challenging the jurisdiction, deny them jurisdiction, because they don't have it, but go ahead.
No, that's a good point. Deny them. That's exactly right. And that's why, John, quick side note, do you recommend, as some other people do, if you have to go up in front of the judge, first of all, I like to look at the district attorney is always going to say, hey, you got this speeding ticket here. You know, we can plead it down to leaving your car by the side of the road, and that way there won't be any points on your license and it won't bother.
Right. Yeah, it's all about money. Yeah.
Well, I look him right in the eye and say, you're asking me to commit fraud by asking me to plead to a crime that I did not commit. I think we need to talk to the judge about this, and you immediately put the DA back on his feet. But when the judge says, how do you plead, is it wise to say, am I compelled to make a plea? and question him, that, and he can't really say yes, can he?
Well, look, when you go into a traffic court or some kind of minimum summons type thing, you know, it's not a something that they might put you in jail on. I mean, I always show up for those courts anyway. My paper precedes me, so I send in a paper, and usually that answers it. But if they're going to require me in, they will send me a letter telling me I better be to come. I need to come. I got to say, 50% of the time, I just never hear back from the courts again. But when I do hear back, I do go to the court, and the key thing is to deny them jurisdiction. Wait a second, Your Honor, you know that this I'm here for the sole purpose of testing this summons. And so I'm here by special appearance, and didn't you get my papers? And usually if they did, what happens is if you got to go in, they usually send you papers back. So I always bring them back with me and bring extra copies and stuff to pass around.
Right.
So, and that's how I deal with it. And look, when it comes to the end, if they make you pay the fine and this is it, you pay the fine or you sue them. I don't have time to sue them, so I would pay the fine if I have to, and I just stick them in a special file that I have that I plan on one day to go back and when I have time to sue a whole bunch of people. But if I had time, if I wasn't as busy as I am, believe me, I'd be suing them immediately, every one of them, from the judge down.
One little thing I think we can do just to kind of, that would take a lot less time and energy than filing a huge countersuit is to at least file a complaint with the bar for the state that you're in, and that's
yeah, but they don't care. That's brownie points for the bar. They'll say, okay, we got our guys out there doing their job. That's
good
the problem
point.
With that, you know. So, look, we need to put our energy into getting our court systems back. That's what we're doing here at NLA, is getting our court system back. That's what we're working forward to. And that's when you're going to get justice. Until then, you really aren't. And it is kind of a waste of time going back and suing these people, because you're not going to win
right. In
the system that's in. You know, it's very difficult to win. And if they're chasing you and calling you the defendant, and they throw you out of court because they don't want to deal with you no more, that's a win. And you don't need to go after whatever monetary things you were looking for, because that's only going to just walk away and leave it be, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and I just wanted to bring up two little articles in the Bill of Rights that people might want to use, and, you know, as just to have in their kind of arsenal, so to speak. And, of course, you have Article 7 that says the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. And that's pretty clear in Article 7. Yeah, and in articles, really, and that could be used in an affidavit or whatever you want to file in your papers as you grease the wheel of the court with some paperwork before you're forced to appear. Article 6 makes the following statement. Now listen to this, and I'm going to tell you how this ties in.
Yeah, we use this one all the time, Article 6, Paragraph 2.
Now, yeah, let me ask you about something here in New York. Now, it says...
After this caller, we'll go to break, all right, John? So you
yep,
can
go ahead.
Go back all right. And grab a
okay.
drink or
something. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. Now, if you look at what's behind, I don't know what year this change took place, but the courts, local court, let's say the town of Penfield, Fairport, Brighton, our local towns here around Rochester, they used to say town of Penfield, town court, or town court, town of Penfield, something like that. And now they say unified court systems of New York State. It clearly switched over from a local district in which you reside to a state court. So people may want to just think about bringing up Article 6 as well as Article 7 and saying, hey, I have the right to be tried in the district where I am accused of this crime, and this is not a district court. I don't see any mention of the name of the town that we're in behind your head, Your Honor. It says state court, and I am wondering where the town of Penfield Town Court is.
Well, that's in Nisi. All town courts, especially those in New York, all town courts are Nisi Prius courts, courts not of record, have no authority and no power to fine or incarcerate. Unfortunately, they do fine, they do incarcerate, and they do think that they have power, and they send the police powers out to arrest you, and you do get arrested, and you do go to jail, and that's a problem. So
that's what we're working on. Okay, John, I'm going to sign off. I'm going to listen for a while, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks. And just to add on to that before we go to our break, habeas corpus, Article 1, Section 9, the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended, period. And that's the Constitution for the United States of America. Rick, give us a break for a while, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Good evening, depending on where you are in the world.
This is the Harmful Agendas Radio Show.
On the Shake and Wake Radio Network.
I'm your host, Tina Lane.
And I'm Christina England, your co-host.
I am an activist and campaigner and the founder of two Facebook groups, Vaccines, the Harmful and Deadly Truth, and Natural and Healing and Food Group. I campaign and speak out against adverse reactions to vaccinations and drugs, false accusations of shaky baby syndrome, and false imprisonment of the innocent. My interests lie in natural foods and natural healing. My co-host, Christina England.
I'm a research journalist and an author writing on the subject of vaccines and adverse reactions to vaccinations and also shaken baby syndrome. I have written an e-book called Vaccination Cover-Ups That Can Land You Into Jail. And I've written a book with Dr. Harold Bertram called Shaken Baby Syndrome or Vaccine-Induced Encephalitis. Of parents being falsely accused. I write regularly on Vaxtruth.com, Liberty Beacon Project, Miss Eco Glam, and Green Med Info. I'm often found on Facebook posting articles and pieces of information for parents. And I'm against the false imprisonment of innocent men and women. I expose the truth at every opportunity that I can. I believe in the truth, and I believe that parents should be educated. I believe that they should investigate before they vaccinate. By investigation, you can make an informed choice, and an informed choice is a good choice.
So please join us on the Harmful Agendas Radio Show.
The Shake and Wake Radio Network.
Tuesdays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time.
7 p.m. UK time.
We're looking forward to hearing from all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Shake and Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free. Will make you free. ShakeandWakeRadio.com.
Anyone who would like to join us in the chat room, you can go to shakeandwakeradio.com and you can ask a question and we'll relay it to John. Go ahead, John. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. Okay. Let's take our next caller here. 913-544. Give us your name and your state, please.
Hey, Tristan in Kansas.
Christy? What is it?
No, Tristan. Sorry, I was reading.
Oh, Christian. Christian in Kansas. Yeah. Okay, go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it looks like everything I hear about this de facto government every day just seems less and less legitimate. So,
Well, bear in mind, there's really nothing wrong with our government. It's the people in the government running our government that have hijacked our government, and we need to get it back. So we got to get rid of all these progressives, is probably a good word to use, because they're in all parties. We got to reveal who they are and get rid of them, because they're destructive to our republic. But go right ahead.
Oh, and remember, it's a... The Constitution calls for a union. It doesn't really say government. It's a union of states kind of just laying out the principles that they follow. But anyway, I wanted to talk about the Terry Trussell thing, how he was kind of kidnapped just by going to court. And what kind of principles would you have for going to court? What kind of, like, rules of the road do you have?
Well, look at the rules of our life, period, act in a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. and, of course, those build up the character of any individual. We'll be patient, we'll be humble, and those things are a necessity, and are, you know, they build each other up. But, yeah, when I go into a court, or anyone goes into a court, basically, you got to go in there firmly. If it's a nisi prius court, and a nisi prius court is one that acts according to the statutes.
Attitude is the main factor of the case.
Well, yeah, they have to know that you're a no-nonsense person, and you're coming in there, and you intend on getting justice in that court, and you have to reflect the fact that you know what you're doing, and then you have to follow up with the next thing to do. You can't let a court, you can't be ruled by the court from the standpoint of we'll see you next month, and then you come back next month, and you don't do nothing between then and now, now and then. So what you have to do is you have to move your court along. You have to open up a court of record, and you have to move them into your court, and you have to start to take control. And of course, you're going to get resistance even in that court too. But
the court of record,
right?
I read a little bit, and I kind of like Bill Thornton's description of a court is civil warfare. You're going in there. You're either going to be wronged, or you're going to stand up for yourself. And that's the kind of attitude that should be going in you should go in with. Another thing that came up in the Kansas stakeholder day is about the social media campaigning we're doing. An alternate to that, many people don't use social media much, especially in this kind of group. In social media, we feel like it's kind of a unfocused group of people who would kind of just skim over what we're posting in social media and then just move on. So we had a few alternatives. One of those was to have local social gatherings like cookouts and stuff like that, hand out flyers there.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, kind
of
like...
Yeah, what we suggest, look at one of the best things you can hand out to people is a copy of the Constitution, a Constitution handbook, and a jurist handbook. Those two booklets are really, really great booklets to hand out. And I'll tell you why, when you hand them out, the jurist handbook, see, the Constitution, people do appreciate that. They read it. It takes some interpretation. It takes a little, you know, it takes really studying to really know what's going on in that Constitution and how great a document that really is. But the jurist handbook makes it very simple. I mean, it really gets to the point. We have a heading of the point of what's being made, and then we have the backing up of that point right there in common law. So it's a very good book, and it's surprising to people when they read about these things and see that, wow, you know, it's a right to
travel.
You
should all read it and discuss it with our neighbors weekly.
Right. Well, do you have any other questions or anything?
Oh, yeah. Our second idea was kind of on the support group idea that other fellow had. We could have hand out flyers to people who are actually in court being wronged.
Well, you
got
to be careful
guys
with that because they will arrest you for that, or they'll ask you to stop. But you got to be careful with that. You know, that's a very touchy thing. Handing out.
I didn't know it was against policy.
Well, I don't want to see anyone go to jail or anything. So just be very careful. I mean, I'd love to go into courts myself and hand out papers and booklets and stuff. I'd be more. You're best off, of course, standing outside the court. And you can do whatever you want out there. But they may even send, an officer out there to say, hey, you got to move along. You can't be handing this stuff out here, you know, once they realize you're doing that. But, you know, look at
that. I
don't want
to see the trouble that could come from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another thing is about the courses. Is there any really general plan for getting the courses out? And is there anything I could do to help with the courses?
No, they're coming along. Last I spoke, they're coming along. That's all I can tell you. And he did tell me originally when he started working on this, it could take 2-3 weeks, and we're coming in on that third week. So here we are. Yeah. So I got to start pushing.
All right. Well, as long as there's a plan there.
Yep.
Could I ask who is in charge of the courses?
Well, we had a group that put the I laid out the curriculum and gave it to a group, and they went through all the curriculum and created the questions and answers and put it on paper, and then I passed it on to our technician on site, and they're doing the install.
All right. Well, sounds good. Thanks, John.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Next. Person, let's see, Sarah from Florida.
Yeah, hi, John. It's Sarah again. Hi. I just want to mention again how important it is to get involved, get reading all the course info, because all the course info is there under essays, and really start learning what remedies are out there. Now, as we're working to organize the counties, organize the actual common law grand juries so that they're ready and prepared so that we can do true bills, a lot of people that have court cases, that have issues,
they can go ahead and write up affidavits of truth and be ready with the paperwork and the documents. So as soon as the Commonwealth grand juries are in the courtrooms or are standing as a common law grand jury to give a true bill, at least the paperwork is ready, because it takes hours to prepare this stuff. The other point is to make sure...
Well, one of the things you got to be careful of is we just can't go out and write true bills without bringing it to the grand jury. So it's still, you know, you can go and prepare a case. Okay, that you could do. And, for instance, if people know about some big wrongdoings, and there's a lot of them out there, and they've been researching and studying or whatever, these things, and if they work to get together appropriate evidence to be shown to a grand jury, then those things we can kind of work, but I wouldn't put too much time into it yet, because we have so much other work to be doing that we can't lay aside. We've got to get into the courts, so that's the work we really got to work on. But there are people who've already got a lot of this stuff put together. For instance, maybe there's a case against a particular corporation that's destroying the world in a certain way or another, without getting into names. Maybe our food system or our air. And maybe there's someone with a lot of info on that and can really start putting a case together to be heard by grand jurors. And a case, if it's a real, real big case, I would say it would need to be a unified case, in the sense that United States unified common law grand jury, unified United States common law grand jury, because we'd have to really focus on it nationwide. But again, you know, our focus right now is to get into the courtrooms, to learn the process, the procedures, learn how to write a true bill. A true bill is really kind of easy to write once you see the framework. You know, it's the same framework over and over again. The hardest part is really, and really isn't, we'll show you how to do this, is how to lay out the wrongdoing. I mean, sometimes there'll be codes involved, and you might want to know the codes. But generally speaking, really, it's just an injured party, and then you know, how they violated the law by injuring somebody or something of that nature. And most of it, of course, is dealing with government agencies. So, you know, there is certain codes that we've made a list of that you can go through, and you can see very quickly these are the codes that they broke. And remember, codes are really policies and procedures for our servants in government. That's what the codes are all for. That's what it's all about. It's always been about that. That and controlling commercial business between the states. And that's the key. So we will get into those details, but we don't want to spend too much time on really trying to write anything particular, because remember, it does have to go before a grand jury. They got to decide on the innocence or the, you know, whether it should be an indictment or not, and then we need to speak with them on what it is that they found was wrong, and then we have to write it up for them, and then we have to make sure that they understand it and that we were accurate in the way we wrote it up before we put it in, because only then does it become a true bill, when that foreman puts his signature on it.
Yes, well, again, we have a large proportion of people within the community that have different issues they're dealing with every day, so they already have their documentation.
Right. Well, that's the key, is collecting evidence and documents and getting it ready to produce. So that's that you could do, and you, like you say, they already have it. So, but again, you know, don't put too much time into that right now, because the time has to be on our media campaign. Our time has to be then when we get into the court. We have to straighten out our states, and we have to really be paying attention so that we're all on the same points as we deal with our different when we deal with problems, you know, in our own states that are common to each other.
Exactly. Now, I just want to make a point also. I mean, we have a couple of cases that tie directly to the issues of common law grand jury, and that's Commander Walt and Terry Trussell. And, you know, there's a few other things, actions pending or whatever in other counties
Those two cases are very, very important cases to all of us because it hits the core of what we're doing here in dealing with the grand juries and the way that these criminals have control over the whole system, that you can't, a criminal has carte blanche as long as they belong to the Bar Association. They got carte blanche, and these cases prove that to be the truth. And we've already talked about these cases, and we are going after these people. And first order of business that we are still in the process with is habeas corpus. And we're going to try to file a habeas corpus for Terry this week. You know, it's a matter of putting it all together and getting it done, accurately as we can on paper. And we also have already started work on Commander Walt's habeas corpus. That we probably won't file that until after we file the quo warranto because we think it'll have more power that way. In both cases, it amplifies what's going on here and it really makes our case and strengthens us.
Exactly, which is why all of us should be supporting Commander Walt and his group and Terry Trussell and his group. Because the quicker this gets resolved, the quicker we are going to have the strength as common law grand juries in all the counties. Because then the crooks know we're not going to put up with, no matter how much muscle and how much prestige they think they have, it really comes down to the law and upholding truth and virtue. Above all else, justice cannot be perverted. So this is why it's so important. Even other states should be trying to see how they can help. So there is a Facebook group that is called, let me just pull it up, Florida. I just want to get the exact name so you can pull it up. Florida Liberty Alliance, information on the common law grand jury. That's on Facebook, Florida Liberty Alliance, -information on the common law grand jury. And I suggest people around Commander Walt also open up whether their state or whether support Commander Walt. Facebook page so that more people from outside of the area can help because the more they see that we work unified, the more strength we have, that we're not going to back down. Truth and virtue and no perversion of justice is what we expect. This is what we demand because we are the people. I yield.
Oh, I didn't have my mic unclipped. Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate that, Sarah. Okay, let's take our next caller. 760-975, your first name and state, please.
Okay, California Dave.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good, okay. I wanted to reach out to California Donna and the rest of the California people on the call tonight, and this could also be helpful to people from other states. What we're doing with the first sheriff letter, the handwritten letter, a lot of other states may have certain counties that aren't populated with leaders. So the original constitutors, the three of us, we split up the counties the same way we did when we constituted. So Joe and I are doing 20 letters. Deborah's doing 19 letters. Sheila and her helpers are doing 19 letters, and they're all helping to do the handwritten thing and gather the books and stuff them and mail them. And anybody who's having trouble with, money or budgets, we're, helping each other out with contributions, whatever has to be done. So just so California Don and any other California people on the call, we are progressing with the handwritten letters, and you can always give us a call to pitch in or find out how we're doing.
Okay, I appreciate that, Dave. Anything else?
No, Dave out.
Okay, thank you. Okay, 207-457, your name and your state, please. 207-5, 457. You've been unmuted. 207.
Hello?
Yes. Your name and your state, please.
This is Russ, Maine.
Russ from Maine. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
You guys are doing a wonderful job, and I'm backing you 100%. But I have some news here. I don't know whether you have ever heard of Veterans Today News Network.
No, I haven't.
Well, they have a lot of information on that network. And I'm looking at one right now. It's making you an agent of the state. And this is how they have infiltrated. I guess you probably know what Agenda 21 is.
Yep.
Okay. And it's through that Agenda 21, these people have infiltrated every government agency. That includes town, state, police, a lot of the sheriff's departments, and this is why you see the military Department of Homeland Security is who's backing these police departments, arming them militarily with, you know, armored vehicles and stuff. And it's all on this Veterans, let me see now, VeteransToday.com. And how they're doing it is through making you an agent of the state. It's all right there clearly. And I just thought it would be something that a lot of people probably don't know about. I just found out about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole movement is communist movement and or Marxist movement, and just like Common Core, and they're destructive to the republic, and the servants in our government took an oath, part of that oath, what we find within the Constitution is a guarantee. That they guarantee, the United States Constitution has it in here, that our servants are to guarantee us a Republican form of government. So anything to the contrary of that, anything destructive of that Republican form of government, such as Agenda 21 and Common Core and many other things, anything destructive to that is anti-Republican, and therefore cannot be supported or by any way, shape, or form by anybody in government at all.
Right, John. You're 100% right. You know, when you talk about the republic, that's what this country's supposed to be. I always put the word now, constitutional republic, because that's what it's supposed to be.
Well, absolutely, yes. We are a constitutional republic. All publics have a constitution, I believe. I believe that's what makes them a republic. It's the public thing, which is the constitution. So generally speaking, you know, that idea is already attached to the word republic. But it is true, you know, our republic is, of course, created and molded and understood by the Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, John, I just wanted to pass that on to you. I think it would help what you're doing an awful lot, too, because if people realize what they have done and how they've infiltrated our school systems, all the police departments are being militarily armed, and it's all being done by foreign agents, and they did take over our government.
Absolutely, we are an occupied nation. Absolutely, no
That's
doubt
right.
about it. And we have over 600,000 troops.
That's
American
right.
Soldiers.
I would like to thank the caller and say you're spot on. But the one thing that a lot of people are leading out is the reason for this and what affiliation these people working in unison have is Satanism. Okay, they belong to secret society.
You're 100% right.
Their goal is, when they have everything in place, to launch a false flag and start mass murdering people to get rid of 80% to 90% of us.
That's
so,
right.
Like, you know, we got to wake people
up. They have all the FEMA camps all in place, ready to go.
The truth will make you free.
That's right.
Right.
So
thank you.
I just thought I'd like to you know, put this Veterans Today news in and let people can get a lot of information off that of what's going on, and that makes us even want to work harder to get our rights back through the common law grand juries.
Right. Well, maybe someone should try to get a hold of this Veterans
Day
and see if they'll do a story on us here at National Liberty Alliance for the common law grand jury. So, good.
I think that's a good idea, John. Really.
All I would say is this. Be careful about where you get your news and who's who. Okay?
Yeah.
Because from what I understand, a lot of the people there are intelligence. Or former intelligence, if there is such a thing. And I don't know what to believe anymore because I've had friends that have been on my show who once, you know, had or have connections to that news organization.
Mm-hmm.
But do you understand what I'm saying? Everything is suspect. Is there such a thing as former intelligence? And if they're putting out information, how come they're not in jail or getting killed or something?
Yeah,
so
no one can figure out exactly what's going on. There's so much disinformation and ignorance and all the stuff. And all we know is that we're a mess and we need to take it back, and this is the way to do it. And then we will bring truth and integrity back into even our newspapers. Because, newspapers, they have a job to do, and that's to protect the Second Amendment. The First Amendment. So, that's... If they're not doing that, they don't deserve the commercial licenses that they've been given, and they have to be rescinded and given to other people to take on that job and keep it serious. And when a news story comes out, they have to really have integrity about this news story. They can't just be going on doing what they've been doing. And we're going to hold their feet to the fire, and people, if they continue to do this, they're going to go to jail.
Yep.
All right, anything else there, Russ?
No, I'm going to yield the floor.
Thank you very much.
Yep, bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, bye-bye. Let's go to our next caller. It is Jan Phillip, 814 number.
This is Pennsylvania Jan.
How you doing, Jan? Pennsylvania Jan.
Doing great. I had a couple questions. Maybe I missed something last Monday, but we've been working to be able to mail out the handwritten letters with the handbooks tomorrow. And first question is, should we go ahead and do that? We're all ready. Second question.
Absolutely. Okay. We're doing it tomorrow, too, so go right ahead.
Okay, great. Second question is, the next letters, 1, 2, and 4, are they cast in concrete so we can start printing them out and addressing them and that sort of thing?
No, they're not cast in concrete. Those letters, I should put a note there not to move to those till we're ready. We should do it together at the same time across the nation. So we should be unified in those letters ending, and we might tweak them a little bit. We'll get some feedback on those letters, and because people are communicating right now over in the meetup, I just got to put someone over there to really kind of digest all that stuff and start gleaming what we can use and so on and so forth. So it's just going to take a little time, but they should be coming. I'd like for these sheriffs to get these handbooks ASAP and to sit on them for a week or so, you know, let them go through these booklets and who knows, hopefully they're going to call us up and say, hey, you know, we've got 20 deputies over here. You think we can get 20? You know, that's what I'd like to hear.
Yep. Okay, we'll go ahead and mail out the first letter and wait till you have the final form on the other letter.
Yeah, we'll start working on the second part. We'll make it, you know, we'll I got to work on that page and start putting in something that we can really get methodical in the way we're going to be doing things, and so everybody will be on the same page all the time as we work through this. You know, this is what they have done. They put out talking points, and you'll hear the same talking point just about on every news media across the country. That's pretty sad and frightening when you really think about it, that they're putting out mantras and they're controlling the people that way, you know. But we need to use the same tactic, but our purpose is for good, and that is to try to unprogram the people, to try to get them focused in on the truth and the things that they need to be focusing in on instead of the lie. So, anyway, anything else, Jan?
Nope, no further questions. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Okay. Okay, our next caller is 620-515. Can you give us your first name and your state, please?
This is Paul from Kansas.
Paul from Kansas. How you doing?
Pretty good. I called a organization that I'm a member of and asked them about if they would do a article about what's going on. And they said they would. They own their own magazine and their paper that they put out. And he's wanting to do a story, and he wants to get a hold of you. It'd be on your internet. I don't have internet, so. But he'd be trying to get hold of you on the website, I think. And so he can get it right when he does it for next month's publication.
All right, we appreciate that. Yeah, tell him to give me a call. Give him my phone number. Give him my email. I'll be talking with a couple of journalists tomorrow that are working with us, and they've got the exclusive. And one of the main reasons we're going to be meeting with these journalists tomorrow is for them to ask us questions so that they understand, really clearly understand what NLA is about and what exactly we're doing. And also, it'll give us the opportunity as we listen to realize some of their errors that we will may become real conscious of, and we can now say, well, we're not building grand juries, we're building administrations for those grand juries, and it's a big difference. You see, you can't build grand juries across the nation because that's a wrongdoing. To build a grand jury and then they sit down for 10 years, that's a monopoly on justice. You just can't do that. A grand jury should only sit for a week or two. They might sit for a month and be called, a couple of times across that month. You know, I don't know. We'll have to figure those things out as we get there. You might have a grand jury that's sitting on particular case or cases for a whole year, okay? Which doesn't mean they're coming to end. They may only come three or four times throughout the year to sit and listen, and that's it. So there's different things, and then you'll have the grand jury that might come in that's really the workhorse, that they'll be listening to cases all week and making decisions and then moving on. You'll have a grand jury that might listen to just one or two cases because there's a lot of stuff to lay out for them or something. I don't know. It may be a difficult case. But again, this is all on the on-the-job training. We'll figure that out as we go. So.
Okay.
But it's a wrongdoing to put a grand jury in place and never change them because we have to the people have to do this all the time. You have to keep moving them along. So, but yeah, we'd like to get to talk with these people if they want to talk with us. If you are you absolutely sure they're friendly or you just got word that they're friendly?
No, they're friendly and they put a lot of money into fighting for land rights. And everything, they do a lot of that, and I think that this would help them and us at the same time.
Absolutely. Give them my number, 845-233-6560. That's 845-233-6560. They can try me during the day. I've been taking a lot of calls during the day here and there, but, you know, sometimes I get busy. Like the next few days I'm going to be busy, so I may not take calls unless I recognize the number and I got to speak to somebody. But generally the best time to get me is in the evenings, obviously not during the time period when we're having a Monday call or Saturday call. Other than that, I'm generally free most of the weekend, most of the evenings from 8:30 Eastern Standard Time to about midnight throughout the week.
Okay, well, I'll give him the phone number then, and he's already been on the website and everything, so.
Great.
I sent some handbooks and everything to him, so.
Okay.
He just wanted to get the story right when he prints it, and they own their own paper and their magazine they publish every month, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
okay. All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
It's a good deal.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Okay, bye. Okay, our next caller, Patricia from New York. How you doing?
Hey, hi, it's Pat here. technically Connecticut, but also helping in New York. Two issues I wanted to comment on. One, a couple of calls ago, you had someone who brought up a story from Veterans Today. And
right.
As you know, I have 84 groups spread over Facebook, LinkedIn, and a bunch of other platforms with a lot of members, and these are research groups. You know, I tell them, you know, we're here to track down the facts, and, you know, and I put them out if they don't do what they're supposed to do. Now, in the case of Veterans Today, we tracked it down. This is basically comes out of Iran, and therefore it is part of the Russian disinformation system. And like all disinformation, you will see a reasonably good proportion of fact in what they publish. The problem is that it's mingled in so strongly that it's very, very hard to separate. And with disinformation sources, either you have a huge amount of time to really research each single story that they put out, or it's best to just avoid it. And I respectfully suggest that all members of this group who are actually, you know, I mean, we're really trying to look at the real world, please avoid such disinformation sources, because it's just going to mislead you. You'll think you're getting, you know, some particular story faster than from some other source, but in the end, it was woven in such a way that your viewpoint on that story is directed the way they wanted you to see it, and not factually. So my groups do have the time to research a lot of these things, and, you know, I ask people to look into different things. So we sometimes do come up with, you know, extract the truth out of some of this. But on the whole, most people don't have that time, and it's not a good source. And I particularly object to the use of the name Veterans Today, because it has nothing whatsoever to do with U.S. veterans or, in fact, anybody's veterans. It's just what I said. It came out of Iran. It's part of the Russian disinformation network, which is vast, and that's that. Now, the other thing is a happy thing. Tomorrow, I finally got a chance to speak at an Oath Keeper meeting about NLA's work and see if I can get some of their goodwill directed toward us. So I think there's supposed to be a media meeting tomorrow, but there's a conflict because it takes me time to travel there.
No, there's no media meeting tomorrow.
Okay, then there's not an issue.
Yeah, we haven't set that up yet. Not sure when we're going to set the next one up. I want to try to get someone to work on digesting all that information before we have our next meeting, so we can start to, you know, work some sense into what we're doing, because we do have people reading and we do have people quoting over there now. So we want to digest all that. And but we do appreciate that information you gave us on the other thing. I, too, am having an Oath Keepers. There's an Oath Keepers meeting up our way in Columbia County this week. I'm going to be heading up there. Gerard's going to head up there, and we're going to speak to them. We spoke before. Every time I go up there, they always give me time to speak. But now we're going to really push them. We're going to push them all off the fence, one way or the other. And, we'll be bringing in Constitution booklets with us, and we'll be bringing in the Jurist Handbooks with us. And we'll probably run a copy off of the last bill that we filed, and we'll hand that out to them. That should energize them and get them to get excited about getting involved with us. So you might want to do the same thing.
I will, now that you mentioned it, yeah.
Yeah, also on our website on the right side, we have a message to law enforcement. I think recently I rewrote that, cleaned it up a bit. There was some problems with it. Maybe you might want to go through it. That might be something worthwhile bringing with you, too.
Okay.
And if you find anything that we need to clean up on it, just give me a call or something.
Okay. I will do that first thing in the morning. Thank you.
Okay, great. Anything else?
No, that was all. I just thought that people listening might have thought that Veterans Day was a good thing to look at, and I was...
Yeah, it's so hard to figure out who the enemy is after a while, you know, and they're so good at it, these people.
Well, that's why I started my groups.
Yeah.
To get people in touch with reality.
Well, we're going to be counting on you getting that word out to all those groups once we get moving on these media things.
I've been doing that on a continuous basis, and I have as many... Thanks. NLA members in my groups as I can, as is appropriate. If they have time to post, then they're welcome there. and I've been recruiting from the groups for the NLA, but the groups are all over the country, so you might find people
right.
in any state that, you know, were directed there by, you
right.
know, people.
Right. Everything helps from everybody. You know, if everybody, I mentioned this earlier tonight, if everybody put in an hour a day, I mean, hour a week or half hour a week, something, even 15 minutes a week or 5 minutes a day, just doing something to get the word out, you know, email something, tweet something, Facebook something, send a copy of latest paper, the last papers to the
Absolutely.
Local news, you know, all those things.
Yeah. People have to understand that this is a natural means for the people to redress their grievances, is through the courts, through the grand juries,
uh-huh.
and the state is obstructing the people.
Right. Absolutely, and we can see that clearly, the evil and what they've done, right, just by looking at Terry's case down there in Florida.
Horrible.
And looking at Commander Walt's. I mean, let me tell you, they,
yeah.
they are poster cases for us. I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah, I'm afraid we may see more of those, and I'm praying that we don't.
Yeah. Well, one step at
well,
a time. Anything else, Pat?
No, that was all. God bless you.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take our next caller, Colorado Stephen. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this is Colorado Stephen. I just wanted to encourage anyone who's going to the One Night Only movie tomorrow night to print up some flyers, either the full page or the half page flyer from in the jurist document area, and
yeah.
to take. Take those with them, because this movie, Unfair, exposing the IRS, is probably going to have quite a bunch of people coming out of that movie that would be very interested in having that
they
flyer.
They definitely
there.
Would be primed for us, and if people come together, enough years, and you can afford to have them with you, get the, because it sounds like there might be a lot of people going to that movie, I don't know, but bring jurist handbooks. Let me tell you, that'll put them on fire. For those people to come in there and come out of a movie concerning what's going on in the IRS, for them to have in their hands as they walk out of that movie a common law handbook, it will blow their mind. I mean, the big focus on the very beginning is jury nullification, okay? Quite a bit, the Kentucky resolution, jury nullification again, and justice. So this would really be helpful for those people.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. Thanks, John.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Okay, Marge from California, how you doing?
Hey, John. I just wanted to ask you if you could perhaps tell us one more time that special site where we can get Constitution handbooks inexpensively. You did it once, and I thought I would remember it, and I have not. And several of my gang have, you know, talked about getting some of these. So, what is the best site? Because I think you talked about you're able to get them as inexpensively as 65 cents a book or something.
Right. Well, these you can get a lot cheaper than that. You know, remember, you know, we buy by the thousands, they buy by the millions, and so they get these booklets done real cheap. Hopefully
right.
at some point we'll start getting our booklets out in such large numbers that we'll be able to get that cheap. But you can find the link if you go
yeah.
out to the page, Media Campaign, just highlight Media and then click mm-hmm. on Media Campaign. Scroll down and click on plan. Okay, it's right there in the top, plan. And when
okay.
you click on the plan, you will see the both links to both right there. It's a picture of our handbook and a picture of the Constitution. And that website, just so everybody would have it anyway, is nccs.net. NancyCharlieCharlieSam.net. NancyCharlieCharlieSam.net. And you'll be able to buy them pretty darn cheap. They're great books. These are the booklets I've been handing out for many years now. You know, there are different people that put different books out, but this is pretty good. I think the only beef that I ever had, and I know others have picked up on this also, is they made a mistake that says the Constitution of the United States of America. And it should say the Constitution for the United States of America. And so that's the only concern that I had in this booklet.
Hmm. Okay, well, that'll work for us until we get our own, I'm sure, John. And then I just wanted to make a flat
statement. Actually, you know what? You're absolutely right. We should, well, look, once we get enough booklets out that we can afford to buy it by a million at a time, then we will go over to Constitutional Handbooks and do our own also. That would be a good idea.
Oh, you bet it would. And I just want to make a flat statement. You know, about we've been talking about state obstruction and county obstruction and everybody, you know, we just have to understand that everything is infiltrated. And, you know, I just am so concerned about all these local candidates. You know, they're uninformed, terribly uninformed, by the way, and they think they're going to jump into a county position and they're going to help everybody in the bookkeeping department or in the, you know, board of supervisors or whatever. And they have no clue, these people, that the minute they jump into that job, they're working for a corporation because they never even thought of it when they, their thoughts of serving started. And everyone in the corporation that's working have no idea that every grant, every idea, every theme that runs through the local government all comes from Washington. And if that be so, everybody has to realize it's not good for the people because we are all, recipients of foreign invasion and all the troops and the whole thing. And yeah, they want to kill us all. It's very, very important. And so the local people, that need to be asked questions prior to jumping into their roles in local government, and they seem to be wanting to jump in like they can do a better job than the guy behind them. And as long as there's this tight, nut-cracking control on these corporations, which are all over our counties, they're not going to have any way to win. Unless they realize why they can't get anywhere and why a group such as ours has to bring back power to the people in order to throw this secret wide open so that everybody understands that what we see locally is not local at all. It all comes from Washington, and the Zionists and infiltrators, my gosh, we're now just locally fighting a Common Core and Agenda 21 and so forth. So we have to realize that this is not, you know, if someone were to say in a group of 35 people, pick me out the serial killer, who do you think is the serial killer here? You know, we'd all look around and we'd all look the same. So our enemy looks just
well,
like...
I think they live in white houses, but go ahead.
They sure do. Yeah, they really do. But I actually think we've got to just, in helping everybody wake up, we've got to let them know that everything that's happening in our local governments is being manifested through the fascists and foreigners that have infiltrated our White House, and they've got to understand we the people have no government. We have no government. We have a bunch of people pretending they're our government. Got to understand that, John. And I really wanted to bring that home. And I think if we have a local meeting in our area here, I think this is one of the things that should be almost the focal point for any kind of...
Right. I think when you read the next paper we're putting in... it's going to make that pretty clear. It's, I think one of our most powerful papers so far to date. And it makes clear on the paper exactly what's going on. You know, it's clear on the table.
Beautiful. I really look forward to it.
Thank you,
John.
Thank you much. Okay, we got one last caller coming up. What's your state and your first name? You're coming in as anonymous.
This is Peter from Colorado.
Peter from Colorado. Go right ahead, Peter.
Yes, John, I have a suggestion for the social media campaign.
Okay.
The two suggestions, really.
Well,
the first one.
One of the things you might want to do is go over to the meetup group and add in over there, but go ahead.
Well, when people go to any ball game, like a baseball game or a football game or something, always be ready to hold up a sign for the cameras that says National Liberty Alliance so that people see that and think, what's going on? And they look you up.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
The other thing is the .org, yeah, but even if they just Google National Liberty Alliance, they'd find you,
that's
right?
That's true, yes.
So the other important one, and this is a big one, is one of the newer social media sites called Grindr, where people can meet each other and they can exchange things between each other, and everyone in the National Liberty Alliance should be on Grindr.
Okay, appreciate that.
That's the big one, and you can meet a lot of friends that way. It's
Grindr. Okay, just Grindr. Google that.
It's GRINDR.com.
Okay. All right, we appreciate that. I do have one other caller. Are you just about done? Because maybe we can squeeze the last caller in for 30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, that was mostly it. Also, the Jews did 9/11, John.
Well, it's not the Jews. It's the Zionists, maybe. But, you know, they're not real Jews. The Jews are regular people, and
right,
they're amongst
right.
us and with us. So we got to be very careful not to disenfranchise them or you know, in any way. But
they're Satan.
But yeah,
oh, not yet. But maybe
Jews,
later.
Jews,
Freemasons,
pretenders.
Let's just bypass the smaller groups and call them Luciferian Satanists.
There you
it's
go.
Not
I
the
like that.
Jews,
church.
It's Jews,
not the Jews. It's
not
and on
the
political
Freemasons,
side of
it's
things,
all of
we
them,
can,
all together.
And on the political
Satanists.
Side, we can call them progressives. So if you want to deal with them politically, they're progressives. If you want to deal with them in reality, they're Satanists. So I agree. Okay, let me move on to last call.
I agree.
Only got a few seconds, and we're going to get on. Thanks for the call. Good call. Thanks. Last call of 541-510. You only got about 20 seconds. Give us your first name and your state, please.
Yeah, this is Steve from Oregon.
Steve from Oregon. Go right ahead.
Yeah, say, John, I've been listening to you for several weeks now, mostly on your recordings. And I just got to say, you got a lot of things that you're right about and I agree with. And but I've been studying this stuff for several years now, and I've learned a few things about the Constitution and the organic laws. And although you're right about so many things, you're not right for the right reason for many of them.
Yeah, we got a guy, Joe, that might share some of your thoughts on that, and we try to talk with him from time to time, and it's a long dialogue, and so what happens, he'll come in, you know, once a week and bring up something, and then we can pick him back up the next week. But we're at the end of the program, kind of too long for that, but you're welcome to come back next week. Try to get in early, and we'll talk a little bit.
All right.
I don't know if there's any homework that you can give me to do to look at before that time.
If you want to study something, discover the Articles of Confederation and the difference between founding papers and what quote-unquote organic law.
Okay.
Because organic law is law, whereas founding papers are not necessarily law.
Okay, well, I'll have to look into that and see once what it is you're trying to tell me with that. I do understand, you know, words have meanings, and I also understand that this is the last caller, Rick. And I do also understand that Let's see, that, what am I trying to say here? Here's what I'm trying to say, is the enemy has taken some of our words and have twisted them around to mean something else. And that's a major problem. I mean, look, we're afraid to use the word citizen. We're afraid to use the word sovereign. I mean, the very first question that the FBI asked me when they came to interview me for the first time was, are you one of those sovereign people? And, you know, it was a setup from point one. Yeah, I'm sovereign. But I already knew enough not to say that. You know what I mean? So the whole thing is a problem.
They're twisting words, all right.
So, let's pick this up. Let's pick this up next week. I'm looking forward to talking to you some more, and I'd like to hear some points. Try to figure out how you can say it, sharpen it up in a way that you can make it as short as possible, so we can digest it, and talk about it a little bit. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Look up organic laws on the U.S. code site. You'll find that
I will definitely do
four
that. Organic
documents there that are listed under the organic laws. Okay, thank you.
Sounds good. All right, we're out of here. Thanks very much. That was the last caller. God bless everyone. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And if you can, make it to us on Saturday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Word. Good night. Take it away, Rick.